This meeting is being recorded.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm disconnecting from my cell phone here. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning?
Fabulous, darling. Fabulous.
Thank you, Cynthia. I hope you guys didn't mind the waiting room music. I had to whip up some dog food in the crock pot. So,
and good for me.
I second that.
Yay. Good. Okay. Fantastic. Well, okay. I've got the, agenda up on the screen, but I realized I left off, PKTF director Joe Hayes from the agenda. So I'm just sending him the link right now because he's going to be talking to us today. And, I just don't know exactly when he's going to be on. So when he hops on, we'll accommodate around our schedule today. Okay. In the meantime, do we have anybody on the call that would like to open us up in a prayer?
I can if nobody else wants to.
Okay. Super.
Okay. Let me get my prayer.
Okay. Thank you, Susan.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion, allow us to grow closer as a group, and nurture the bonds of community. Fill us with your grace, Lord God, and continue to remind us that all that we do here today, all that we accomplish, is for the pursuit of truth, for the greater glory of you, and for the service of humanity. We ask these things in your name. So be it.
So be it. Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
Okay, any volunteers out there to do the Bivens decision?
I can do that. I have it right here, handy dandy.
Go for it. Thank you, Susan.
This meeting is private. Bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Anyone who is here under false pretenses, anyone who is working for any foreign government, including the territorial United States or municipal United States, anyone who is being paid or coerced to be here must fully disclose their presence and purpose now or leave the premises. If they subsequently show up as federal witnesses, they are discredited for failure to disclose.
Thank you, Susan. Okay, so again, whenever Joe Hayes pops in here, we'll just squeeze him in between. But this is what I've got on the agenda for today. We're going to talk about the document management server. We're going to talk about a Sign in America update. We're going to do, I have received an open letter this week, the nationwide outreach effort, and also old business and new business. So let me start with the document management server. So first, I want to give a shout out to both Christy Leeper and also to Terry, who both reached out to let me know that there have been I gave out misinformation regarding the document management server when a question came up like last week or the week before, and I directed whoever asked the question to Jimmy Fulton. So apparently Jimmy's not doing that anymore. Okay, so I really want to apologize for that. That was my lack of being. I was not up to date. I didn't keep myself up to date on that. So I apologize. And, but I do want to share with you that there is, there's a brief video that I'm going to show you. It's approximately 10 minutes long. And this is Christy giving us an update, on the document management server. So please bear with me. I'm just going to pull up her video now. Okay. Skip the commercial.
Hello, fellow Americans. Oh, this shoot. Is Christy, and I'm just bringing you a quick update.
Sorry. Wrong window. Here we go.
About the transition from Mattermost to the DMS/Synology new platform for reconstructing our four pillars. So this will look familiar to you. In the past, you would have seen, and maybe you had a username and password where you could sign in with your first initial and then your last name. This is what my previous phase one DMS account looked like. I refer to it as phase one because when it was set up a year ago, it had a different purpose. It was simply a place to hold some files, and it was a better file structure than what Mattermost provided. When Anna was asked us to sunset the use of Mattermost last fall and we began working on a new solution, this became another a way to go ahead and solve that problem. And so you'll notice that this looks exactly like the whole sign-in page looks just like the DMS phase one, but this is really DMS phase two, and you'll notice that for my username now it has ASN backslash and then K for Christy, M for my middle name, for the first letter of my middle name, and then Leaper. And then I can go ahead and sign in. So you'll notice that this is different than K Leaper. It's KM Leaper. So yours should be styled in a similar way. This is going to allow us to expand to tens of thousands of people, whereas the other DMS wasn't set up for that level of expansion. But we're planning big and planning to build something that will see us through. So having said that, I'm going to go ahead and sign in my password. And my password's not the same as phase one. This is a whole new project, whole difference. We'll call it phase one and phase two, and this is phase two. Again, see, it looks exactly the same. So people think that it's the same, and they think that when they've asked for permission to go ahead and get an account, that it's just like they're not getting a new password or something. It's actually a completely different, a whole brand new structure, but it looks the same. And so you'll recognize the file station up here. I'll click on that, and you'll see that we have the Synology chat with it now and the Synology calendar. This calendar is going to provide a place where we can put meetings for the 50 states, like Anna's meeting every Monday, but also Michelle Ford leads some trainings on Mondays and, I'm sorry, Tuesdays and Thursdays. There's litigation committee. There's the militia meeting on Friday or on Saturdays. There's the MAA, the Marshal at Arms meeting on Fridays, I think. There's coordinator meeting on Sundays. You get it. Sometimes it affects all 50 states. So when it does, it'll go on this calendar. And then there's other times when, like, for example, on our state, we'll have a monthly meeting, or I might have a meeting locally, those kinds of events. But it really doesn't need to be shared on the 50 states. It would just really create a very cluttered calendar if all of us were trying to post in the same location. So every state will have their own calendar. I'm going to show you the file system. It's in alphabetical order. We wanted to have the four pillars separate, but we had to just kind of put this all in ABC order. It's the way that it has to be used. And so we've got the states with A, let's start with the letter A, then we've got assembly militia pillar. Down here we have a folder for coordinators, then we've got the general assembly pillar. Again, the states keep going in alphabetical order. We've got the international business assembly here, and then we've got the general pillar. Down here, I'm just going to show you on Washington. You know, if you happen to be on another state and you were wondering what we're doing, you know, we've followed some of the trailblazing that Alaska did on our behalf. Why reinvent the wheel? We can all benefit from the work that everyone's doing. So on our Jural pillar, if someone wanted to come in here and they had their own Jural committee, they wanted to see what our step one, step two, step three, step four look like, and our flow chart, they'd be able to do that. So anyways, we're storing the information we need for reconstructing that pillar right there. With that, I'm going to move on and show you around Synology briefly. You're going to see that this looks a lot like Mattermost. You're going to notice that there are channels, just like on Mattermost, and then there are conversations, which is like the direct messaging. So you'll see there's some very similar things. We're trying to keep this very centered on what are the four pillars. So we've got the assembly militia pillar. We're not able to put spaces or unique characters in there, so it just has to get all mushed together, and then you can just tell because it's capital and lowercase. So it can kind of help you figure that out. the assembly militia pillar, then we need the general assembly pillar, the international business pillar, and yeah, I'm sure there's one more here. International, the general assembly, I think we need a, oh, it says courts. We might change that to be the general assembly. We have some tweaking to do on some of this, these channels here. I did want to show you that I was working on the recording secretaries just to give you an example so you could see what that's like. And you can see that I've posted here some of the information that are great resources for recording secretaries. That way they're pinned there and easy. For example, the links that when people want to listen to recording secretary trainings, those are there. This is a fantastic thing, this autograph cheat sheet and an Excel spreadsheet with the purposes and benefits of each of the documents. So these are just great resources that the recording secretaries might want to have. We'll also be adding to each channel a declaration of decorum to remind everyone, you know, exactly what it is that we want to be focused on in the channels as far as our behavior goes. And so, anyways, those are some of the things we'll have here. We'll be working on really narrowing this down and getting this the way we want it. And then down here, you can have conversations the same as we did in Mattermost and other kinds of social media. Also, just as a reminder, some information is being moved into the document management server. And other information is in the process of being moved to TASA. So, for example, people are wondering about the Mochi. This is on the TASA website. If you go to the home menu item here, and when you get to when you want to find the page with all of this, you're going to go to Chart Your Course. And if you scroll to the bottom of Chart Your Course, then you're going to see the Mochi right there. And we'll be adding more information here in different squares so that you have all the information that you need. This is no longer going to be behind a password like it was when we had it on Mattermost, but you'll be able to get to everything that you need. And then it's going to be something where men and women need to self-govern and only use these methods if they have used the TASA paperwork process and come through in the way that is recommended. People have asked about how it will be decided who is getting an account for the document management server. And the Federation does not have the resources at this point to really, you know, do a lot of monitoring and oversight of how conversations are happening, and which is required because it would be within international jurisdiction, and there are just complications with that. So for right now, we're just being very careful to make sure that those who have access are the ones that need access because they're very involved in standing up the four pillars. So in understanding that, know that as men and women come on the land, there's a period of time when they come on the land and they're just really they're learning all their initial stuff about what their paperwork even means sometimes and what it even means to stand up four pillars. They're learning how to use the LRO and pay fees and do, you know, record or publish if they need to. They are learning to keep up on Anna's articles, and their weeks are full of maybe attending new information by Anna, and maybe they're also getting some training, like the current coordinators training that's going on that Anna does on Thursday evenings. They might be attending their business meetings once a week. I know I started doing that right away because I wanted to know what was going on. But it was probably 6 months. You know, none of us have really seen the American government operate. And so I just sort of hung back mostly for the first few months to find out what was even going on. And after a while, then I got acquainted with it. And over time, as our committees have developed, I've raised my hand when it's appropriate. And so I encourage new people to kind of come in and be a fly on the wall and find a committee that fits more than anything. If it just fits your schedule and what works with your life, that's a great committee to maybe just be a fly on the wall and find out what they're doing. Listen in. And once in a while, you might have an idea to offer. And the idea of the American government is that we all show up and we have a meeting, you know, with all the family members there, or all family members that want to show up. So in the same way, I brought this form up because the coordinators have been having conversations on their weekly Sunday meeting about how we're going to implement this and wanting to make sure that we avoid what's happened in the past with Mattermost. It's not that we want to exclude anyone. Anyone who's really rolling up their sleeves and getting to work, we want to make sure that they have easy access, and it's most efficient for us. That's why we even created it. So we want the right men and women to have access, and there's no desire to withhold that. And each state will perhaps have, you know, maybe their recording secretaries oversee this, or maybe there's going to be a committee or a small group of people. Somehow they're going to have a process for deciding who are the people that have been showing up, rolling up their sleeves, who needs access, because it's most efficient for all of us if that man or woman has access. And there will be a form to fill out, and so then that will be provided to, by that state. Let's say if it's the recording secretaries, or maybe it's the, there's a small committee or whatever, and they will send that to the Federation. The Federation will be then able to provide, an account for that man or woman so that they can do the committee work easier. And so hopefully that solves the problem of the information that people wanted to get off of Mattermost. So we're making sure that that gets moved to TASA. So as a reminder of that, we want to make sure that that gets moved to TASA, just like you can see the Mochi information. The second thing that people really want is we want to be able to stand up the four pillars. That was the initial intent for Mattermost. Then the third function that men and women were really interested in is, how do we connect with other ASNs? And the really beautiful thing is that there's been a real grassroots movement beginning where men and women are stepping up to take care of that themselves. And that way, those who really are interested in administering some sort of a Telegram channel or Linktree or TikTok or YouTube videos or whatever, people are stepping up and they're finding solutions, and we're creating our future as Americans. And so I'm delighted to see that start happening. And so that is happening, and hopefully you'll find out about those. Just get connected with people in your state, and you'll begin to find out what the Americans are doing and where you can find information. So I think that solves all of the problems that we were trying to solve, and we're doing it the best. And, of course, as things come along, they improve and they shift and they change a little. So I hope it's helpful to let you know that we are getting very close to rolling this out. And even if you've sent an email to Jimmy Fulton, I want you to know that Jimmy Fulton isn't going to know on every state who's really, really involved in standing up the four pillars and who's been rolling up their sleeves and who really needs access. And so anyways, if you have something like a great resource for men and women to find other ASNs, please share it on Mattermost. If you have access to Mattermost, be in touch with someone else who has access to Mattermost and find out where those grassroots solutions are coming from, where men and women are self-governing and running Telegram channels, YouTube channels, and those kind of things. All right. Well, I hope that's a helpful update, and let's go build our 50 states and stand up our lawful government and build the future that we want.
Okay, so that was Christy Leeper, and I do have a couple of resources that I'm going to be dropping into the chat. So, you know, she touched on the fact that there are, you know, volunteers that have accepted roles, you know, recording secretaries, people working in our journal pillar, our international interstate business assembly, our militia pillar. You know, there are people volunteering that might need access to documents. And so the California Assembly hasn't really done much by way of working with the CMS server so far. It used to be exclusively in the hands of, you know, everything was going through Jimmy Fulton. And this video came out on March 28th. But as an assembly, we can participate there if we want, because, you know, other states are putting up a bunch of documents there, and we don't need to reinvent the wheel. Or, you know, I want to take your lead on it, everybody. You know, those of you that are volunteering, if you want access to the DMS server, you have to let me know. There's a particular form, as you know, she pointed out the form, and I can get that turned into Terry, and she can create your user profile. And again, this is for volunteers that are either serving in specific roles or who are active on committees. So how does the California Assembly feel about this document management server? Would you like to participate in using it? Go ahead, Janice.
Yes, very much, please. I would love access. That Mattermost is very difficult, frustrating. I know that it's there. When told find Mattermost, I cringe because it's all scrolling and my eyes cannot handle it. By the time I've located it, I'm frustrated. My eyes are blurry and I have to walk away. That looked so organized and easy and common sense. I want to look at it now. So yeah, if you could please get me access to that, I really want the recording secretary documentation, anything like that, especially right now. And the other stuff I want to look at after that. So thank you.
You're welcome, Janice. Okay. I've written your name down and I'll be sure to turn in a form for you and get that the ball rolling on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Susan Volpe.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Just for the document sharing alone. That's incredible.
Okie doke. I've got you down, my dear. Okay, John Farinacci.
Yes, please add me to the list, Michelle.
Okay.
And thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. Okay, and John. Margaret?
Yes, Michelle, please add me to the list also.
Okie doke. How are you feeling over there, Margaret?
I'm getting there.
You are. You poor. Someone needs, whoever lives close to Margaret, you need to bring her some bone broth, some vitamin C.
Yeah, I do make my own. I've got everything.
Okay, good.
All right. Just a little slow kick in it.
Oh, all right. Hang in there. All right, Diana.
You can add me, please.
Okay. All right. Any other active volunteers that would like access to the DMS server?
You can add me, Michelle. Kicking and screaming, you can put me in there.
You're going to get into the modern technology age, Marshall David. Okay.
We're 24 years into the, or 23 years into the 21st century. I'm ready to go.
Okay, super. All right. Okay. Now, of course, this may not be an all exhaustive list. If you find later on that you need access, all you have to do is send me an email. And if you're an active volunteer, then I can go ahead and get the form submitted and get the ball rolling for you. Okay. All right. Any questions about the DMS server before I go on to our next item? Okay, hearing no questions. All right, we have a very special guest with us today. We are so fortunate to be on the calendar of the PKTF director, Joe Hayes, all the way from Kentucky. So the PKTF, for those of you that are new, is called the Peacekeeping Task Force. And the Peacekeeping Task Force is very much a liaison. Right? It's sort of like the bridge between our government, you know, our land-based government and the de facto incorporated government. Okay. So I don't even like to call it a government, but it just slips out. Okay. So we've got Joe Hayes with us, who's going to be giving us some valuable information. You know, we're really interested in finding someone on the California Assembly that's interested in serving as a PKTF liaison for California. So Joe, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to you. And thank you so, so much for taking the time to be with us today. We know how busy you are and I'm just super grateful. Thank you.
Michelle, you're so welcoming. Thank you. Glad to be here. Well, I guess I can jump right in maybe with a screen share. Go ahead and switch it over to me.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to undo the disable the security here so you can do it. Okay. It should be enabled now.
Just let me know when anyone can see.
Yep, it's up.
Okay, I'm just going to jump right in, everybody. It's really difficult to decipher where to go first. So I'll just probably share with what most of you are already aware as far as our exposure, our internet exposure. We do have two main sites. We're working towards bridging internet interfacing. Interfacing is our job. But how the Continental Marshals have a web presence, an affiliation across all nation states for sheriffs, sheriff deputies, and all deputized assembly militia assets and all of what that entails. Okay, but again, that's just an exhausting feat. So I'm just going to jump right in to one of our two sites. You'll see here, I have a circular corner here. Can you guys see that?
Yes, I know.
Okay, so I utilize that feature to help point out. So here's the site. Okay, it's kind of all-encompassing address, so you guys can find that way. It's not affiliated to PKTF so much as it is. It's a site that I used years and years ago. So I just repurposed it. Now it's covering and carrying all of our messages for the Peacekeeping Task Force as a blog. Okay. Now, I utilize this myself, but my editors and their contributions, we pull it all together and publish sub-articles through this portal because it's much more expedient. Now, in terms of what we're discussing today and the time I have available regarding assembly militia, we want to try to add as many places where people who capture an interest and where they can find information. Again, we have two main sites, this one, and then our pktfnews.org site. Everywhere right now, we have information about availability. Ourself as within the company directorate, we have a position for associate director and then an administrative, in the administrative portion, executive secretary. This will be two teams. Okay. We already have as far as the company side, we have myself and Kathy Kreidler out of Nevada, who are working as one team. And we will eventually transition into assisting other countries outside of the continental United States. So that's, and then the associate director and executive secretary will assist this. And again, this is in the future, perhaps 2025, probably about 12 months from now. We'll have established two teams of two, total of four. But here is where the assembly liaison role can be further inquired. Simply just click the site here and move into them clicking. And again, both sites, the blog portion and the website portion, they have a symbiotic relationship. They'll bounce back and forth between the two, just kind of add that perspective. One of the main reasons why, again, because it's easier to publish sub-articles on the Blogspot. This site, just to keep it trim, we don't offer direct commentary like a blog station does. Okay. But the sub-article you saw leads you back to the main featured article on our site, which provides information here. And then if there's any updates that are tied to that. And we are talking about the assembly liaison role. So what will happen, as far as anybody interested, they're channeled where they need to go next. And it's very simple, easy process. It's an enrollment form. There's no onboarding at this point. At this point, we're just simply trying to, place information where it needs to go so that we can have people placed on the distribution list to then receive the training or previous training. Okay. I'll go ahead and stop for any questions, or anybody can just jump in at any time. Okay. Simply because I'm jumping in here cold. So any questions so far?
You're doing a great job, by the way, Joe. Marshall David has a question.
Shoot.
Yeah, Joe, can you briefly describe or take as much time as you'd like the peacekeeping task force liaison role?
Sure. The role is designed to help smooth the edges of animosity, apprehensions, perceived animosities, apprehensions, reluctancies, anything about bridging that interface between our, and again, this is where the apprehension comes in, is to think that the American people, as a political status correction, as a pivot point, maybe, to then qualify themselves in a kind of a how dare you notion, to then, you know, take upon themselves for self-governing, to offer peacekeeping services, flying in the face of, perhaps, due to, you know, any kind of, again, as far as how the apprehension comes to be, nevertheless, we know that it's there. But where the Peacekeeping Task Force offered that opportunity to just smooth those edges, get people who are, as I would like to say, card-carrying peacekeepers, geared up, become more and more refined in their approach and comfortable in themselves, in their element, to then begin speaking with, I'll start at the top, state attorney generals, any labor unions that they support and underwrite, the labor union leaders themselves, their presidencies, however it needs to go, and then it starts to go down further to the ground level, where you have chiefs of police and their associations, sheriffs and their associations, and their council. I live on a state that we actually have fiscal courts, so we have judge executives, where our sheriff speaks to the judge executive instead of a council member at the city level. So we're kind of fortunate to be among those few commonwealths. And again, that helps to differentiate some states like California, who doesn't have a commonwealth residual, you know, or whatever that notion might be further. Nevertheless, we have a kind of a presence of a county sovereign existence, where the county shares responsibility separate from the city municipality, and that's great. And so we have that opportunity. Am I about to answer your question, or do you have anything more that you need?
Joe, why would someone want to take this role? There's a restriction on this role also, that they can't do any other position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it, you know, as it functions in an ambassadorial capacity, it can resolve a lot of the tension that you were speaking about with the de facto agencies and officers. It seems like a really interesting position for the right man and woman in the assembly. But what if some of the other people that have filled this role in other states describe to you as to why they respond? Maybe that'll help to fill in why somebody might want to do this job.
Well, the first part of your question, remind me of the second part if I deviate too far. The reason why you want to take on the role is to, again, become more familiar with who it is that we're offering augmentation services to, peacekeeping services. You need to offer this simply because there are the jurisdiction, the differentiation between jurisdictions that needs to be accomplished, okay, by all means. And why anybody would want to take on this role is because they know this, they're aware of this. And the reason why they don't take on more than one role is because the Peacekeeping Task Force realizes that this is already a tradition within the assemblies, to having having had taken on more than one role, it just becomes too overwhelming, too taxing on, and too burdensome on people's daily lives. So we encourage, first of all, the fact of working through the Federation, which the Peacekeeping Task Force is a product of. We want to maintain that American state national approach and further away American state citizens and taking on that assembly ownership and then building a natural distance, a safe distance from the assembly to then offer that liaison role, you know, and basically kind of insist on a separation so that a bridge can then be built, can be envisioned, and then it can become more necessary. So it's quite a bit. There's a few obvious dynamics that we're trying to place into the realm of people's comprehension so that they can appreciate it further. And then those who have already taken on the necessity is because they're elated at the opportunity, and these same people have speaking skills, they're very approachable. Maybe they have spoken in amongst company like that before. They have a relationship maybe with their sheriff, and it's been that kind of a stepping stone towards familiarity. Those 27 states, I believe now, that have attended our meetings. And right now, at the moment, they're sitting back, learning. They haven't shared too much about themselves, and we don't really ask so much, but there is an onboarding process and a single interview that we utilize to help, you know, substantiate who is participating as a liaison, a single liaison for each state or a team for each state. But essentially they're positioning themselves to where they have a meeting place, a physical meeting place where they go and they attend periodically throughout each week, for the opportunity to sit down with, their state chief of police, you know, spokesperson, and whatever that union allows for appointments, and those who would grace our liaisons with their presence based on the scheduling. So it's a lot of work building that bridge that we're insisting upon needing, first with the need to separate the assemblies from their liaison to a point where, again, the bridge needs to be identifiable and then crossed back and forth. And again, those are the two parts of the question that you could answer.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And then, what kind of, weekly commitment are you expecting, anticipating for this role? Could you address that a little bit too? And just, let you just briefly outline what level of commitment you think this it'll take to fill this role?
Well, we're looking at somewhere between 5 to 8 hours a week, 7-day period, and among that 5 to 8 hours, at least 90 minutes on a Saturday, starting at a 7 p.m. Eastern benchmark, just adjust your time zones for that, to attend our training every other Saturday. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, and we have a legacy fund approach for that. That's a different topic, but and so here's our next time frame. You can see on the screen when our next training session begins.
Oh wait, Joe, what tab is that on? For some reason, I can't read the tab. It's a really fine print on my screen.
Which one?
What page on your website is this thing that we're looking at?
It's at the very bottom. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's the top portion of the footer.
Oh, super. So it's just kind of always there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Okay. And then Susan James also had an open mouth emoji, so she's got a question, and then I also have a question. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of maybe making the peacekeeping task force liaison position a paying job position?
A paid?
Paid job position, yeah. Pay him. Pay him for the service that he's going to be providing.
Yes, that great question. Here you'll see we took upon, we're building off of the legacy fund approach, how we can compensate now even now, but definitely in the future until actual state funding, state sponsored state funding comes in. We do have a mark. So here's.
I was thinking of maybe donations from the 50 states, you know, all the 50 states put money in, you know, and pay them ourselves. Isn't that the way self-government is supposed to be? We're supposed to pay our government.
Well, usually, yes, that's what I would have to say. That would probably be a first phase or second phase approach towards self-governing. To my realization here about self-governing, usually it's an personal or individual direct investment as self-governing, kind of laying that groundwork, that foundation. And then with that commitment that becomes obvious, then you have people within your community that also then dedicate those portions of their resources towards that same dedication. So really it comes with the self-investment, a consistency with that investment, sincerity, transparency, all of the things that build on.
I was thinking more getting a better qualified persons that are will want to take on the task because it's a good paying job, and we'll get somebody that can really take on the requirement of doing a great job for us. Mm-hmm. I think paying them would be a good incentive.
Right. Yep. Well, we are working towards that, and the newsletter, which I'm getting ready to move into next, kind of builds off of that. If anybody has another device that you can follow along separately, or maybe a split screen, we do encourage everyone to sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter itself is kind of a big deal, ongoing at all times. And we were kind of late to get our bi-monthly newsletter out. I'm getting ready to provide a sub-article on this same Blogspot announcing that we will continue on with last period's, which is an April-May newsletter. We're going to extend that for another week before it goes into archive. So if you'd like to sign up for that, just go ahead and enroll. Of course, it's complimentary. Just let us know, and we'll get that out to you. And that speaks more on compensation, perfecting self-governance, what that might look like, the transitioning periods from a phase one, phase two, and so on. And then building up to what you just mentioned as far as how to compensate dedicated Americans, start providing a stellar service such as this. Okay, and then if you want to, and again, I'm just mentioning these two right now because this is the latest add-ons to this spot. So if you want to talk directly about everything that is seen here, it leads into a separate future communication for all peacekeepers worldwide. So if you want to launch into our dedicated Telegram channel, just click here, and this just came online right up. 25 hours ago. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So let's see if I can get it going here. You all should experience the same kind of cumbersome thing. Mm-mm-mm. All right. If it's not coming up this way, I'll just go ahead and go into the. So eventually you'll come here. And this is for the Peace Bridge Network. And you can find this also under our donations campaign. We have a perforation between all of the services if anybody chooses to donate, which is what who was it that spoke last before you, Michelle?
That was Susan James.
Yeah, Susan. So Susan was touching on that eventual necessity, you know, compensation. And just as a side note, guys, I totally understand exactly, you know, I see it as clear as can be. Compensation really equates to freeing up one's time. It's not so much intellectual property compensation or, you know, hitting the grindstone more than the other and then, you know, seeking that whatever it might be. It's really just freeing up other people's time, one's own time to be able to continue providing. And then the resources that it takes to maintain that dedication. But so we do offer and I'll move over to that and I can probably end with that and just answer any questions. But these are some of the kind of cutting edge aspects. But this Telegram channel, if you're part of the initial Telegram channel, we want to try to start to migrate away from these on Telegram, not to say that they'll go away, but you'll find most of us eventually here, okay? And this is kind of a locked-in, dedicated participation. So if you want to have information, so these will be actually, as I mentioned before, card-carrying peacekeepers. Because we want sheriffs, sheriff's deputies, area, state, and deputy area chief, continental marshals and their deputies here. We want state commanders that deals with state defense here, and their posse, comitatus, their posse leaders, anybody, and this is worldwide. Okay, so eventually there should be however much Telegram can carry this discussion, because eventually the peacebridgenetwork.org will come online and will offer that exposure. So this is just a platform to jump into, a sturdy platform, to then jump into the Matrix Element platform, which is what you see here. Where is it? I don't think it's on here yet, but so like I said, oh, here it goes. Another sub article. And so what Matrix, yeah. I mean,
if you're pulling up a new article for us to see, it's still on the PKTF Assembly Liaison page. We don't see the newsletter, so you might need to select a different screen for sharing.
How about now?
There you go. Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you saw the Telegram, if you saw the Telegram link, did you see me transition through there, anybody?
Yeah, we did see that. In fact, I just signed up for your Telegram channel. And by the way, I also put the link to the Telegram, the direct link to the Telegram channel into the chat. But, you know, everyone should also take note. I'll redrop it because I know a few people have joined the call, but so we have two links. One is to the Blogspot, which I just dropped back into the chat again, and then the Telegram channel. So right now we're looking at the Blogspot. What Joe is sharing is the Blogspot, which is their primary website where you can subscribe for the bi-monthly newsletter. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Thank you. Right, and now, again, what Telegram is offering exclusively, what the Blogspot emphasizes regarding the Peacebridge Network, the Telegram then transitioned would-be peacekeepers or peacekeepers in their infancy, but again, quote-unquote card-carrying, those who will, or at least working towards dedicating themselves to learning more about what it is to be an actual peacekeeper. And eventually with arresting powers, booking powers, interrogation, you know, lawful pursuits, and all through the jurisdictions regarding that. They will eventually move away from the platform on Telegram into the Element Matrix server platform worldwide. Okay? And this is something that we've taken upon ourselves to perfect what Mattermost was offering during the time that it's time to shine, and it's great. I find a lot of usefulness along with its limitation. But the Peacekeeping Task Force decided the people yearn for an opportunity to meet and meet respectfully towards one another and share alike and inquire and just learn and gain that communication edge. So we realize that there are a lot of people that have a lot of ideas and concerns, and some of those ideas and concerns come in quite chaotically, and the lack of respect is usually found there. And again, you know, electronic mediums, there is no inflection, there's no, it's not fast enough for people to avoid misunderstandings. So we realize that. However, peacekeepers card carrying, or soon to be card carrying, endeavoring to be card carrying peacekeeper, will go out of the way to maintain proper decorum even in an electronic environment. So Element will provide that. Okay, and this is something that people can subscribe to. This will be, again, the assemblies utilize donation and subscriptions to help raise funds before actual reliable compensation kit is in the future will be. So this will be the first actual paid subscription in the future for card-carrying peacekeepers. And with that $1 per month subscription, they expect to be able to speak with other peacekeepers worldwide. They are status corrected. Those who are observers that are not status corrected but are part of the various governments are known. They will be tagged as such, and they're free to walk about and collaborate as well. So this is a massive, massive undertaking. But we do like to maximize what we can get out of our Federal Reserve $1. So, you know, so I hope people can appreciate that. And we do too. And we're confident that many, many people will appreciate that this environment in the future and know that they will be respected and will respect others at all times while collaborating. So there's information like this and so much more. You can see the tabs as we go. I don't want to really put this blog over our main website, but I just have to say that the plugin features, the functionality is much easier. So hats off to Google for doing what they can to provide this kind of exposure. But our, let me know if you switch back to the PKTF news site. I'll end it with this, Michelle. You see this?
Yes, I sure can. Uh-huh.
Okay. So if you go to just navigate through the top portions, this site, the reason why this banner limited material contained is still here is because it's just, we had to launch in a pretty rapid fashion. And so the site is still riddled with, links that return, they go nowhere at the moment. You can see that yourself, but just know that that's the reason why this is still here. If you're on a full screen, just simply collapse it and then move through. Here's our central office. Okay. This is where a lot of the assemblies should eventually build towards and have actual meeting space. So we're quite happy to have accomplished this. And this was through donations. It's not a full-on office meeting because of the cost. So we also practice the fiduciary standard of expenditures, but we did go the extra mile, as it were, to have an actual meeting space that we can meet with, again, state attorney generals and on down as far as law enforcement, criminal investigators, State Bureau of Investigations, the entire gamut. And your liaisons will be sanitized from your assembly business and not preoccupied with other obligations that are vital to your assembly development. They're still part of your assembly, but they're an American state national who's focusing only on shaking hands and building that sturdy bridge and the interface back and forth between the assemblies. Okay, so they need an actual meeting space. A virtual meeting like this is great for convenience. But it has its limitations, obviously. That warm handshake, that embrace and share the, you know, everything that involves direct physical interaction, it's a necessity at some point, and especially with your current state law enforcement men and women. They deserve that same respect just as we do. And I'm sure no one here can say, yep, come on, meet me at my house, talk around in our backyard gazebo. Maybe. But certainly not constantly, you know. But anyway, so there's our location. Before I finish up with as far as the newsletter, I'm kind of circling back here. If you want to sign up, we still have emails coming in, requests for our April-May newsletter. The newsletter itself is in its infancy, but it's very important that we have this. We have the surface level newsletter, and then we have the subscribers edition, which is emailed to. Okay, and then the donation, I'll end it with this. We wanted to really build a unique approach towards donations. We didn't want to certainly have any donations kind of fall into a void, a basket of obscure donations. So we wanted to be able to offer an outline of the different types of donations. If anybody, as they read through, they obviously demand further inquiry. So if any part of what anybody sees here within this outline, if they want to inquire more, again, just simply, you know, copy this and then go to the here section. And then go ahead and just type in the subject, whatever it is, along with your question. And then your information here. And then you'll find out more about each one of these particular outlines. And then if anybody wants to at some point donate, they can say where it goes. And then the newsletter itself will provide updates as to where those proceeds go constantly. So maximum exposure is what we're going for as far as donation. Okay. And I think that's it. Michelle, I don't want to bombard too many folks here. I don't think anybody here expected me to show up today. So, but I can bring back more now that I know you guys meet on Saturdays at noon. My time.
Yeah, thank you. And I did announce it on Wednesday night. So people were notified that you were going to be here today. So I'm really glad that you were able to make it. But here's the thing. I do have a couple of quick questions. I hope I can keep you for a few more minutes. Okay. One of them is regarding you mentioned something called the Element Matrix server. What exactly is that?
Yes. Element or through Matrix, Element Matrix is the backbone. Element is a server like Mattermost.
The name. Okay. You know what? That's all you needed to say. I didn't realize that was like the brand or the name of it. Okay. So that makes total sense now.
It is world renowned, the best communications platform out there.
Really? So
we're taking on the most challenging, but most, reputable communication server out there. Communications of service, who we provide through, that's still to be determined. Actually, the server that we'll be providing, I know some folks will be concerned. So we want to try to, at some point, take on some of these larger corporations and give them the opportunity to course correct their own corporate trajectory. So for instance, we are considering having Amazon actually carry the service with full intent that they have the opportunity to correct their course using our purpose for their trajectory. So it's a really super great opportunity. And we will be speaking with folks within Amazon that carries those server capabilities.
Wow, that would be huge. So I'm going to add that to my prayers. Okay, that would be awesome because, you know, that whole infrastructure already exists. And part of the problem is waking up our friends, you know, to what's going on. And if, you know, if things could kind of look similar and, you know, out there without it feeling like the world is turning upside down, you know, like it's, then they might be more.
Right. And a catastrophizing mindset, or, you know, catastrophe, we're kind of inundated with those notions. Mm-hmm. But if we pause for a moment and say, well, I think this is not healthy to catastrophize about certain companies, especially if we're not really there to confirm or deny, but there's compelling evidence. Okay. But how about the corporation itself being given an opportunity to course correct the corporations themselves?
Right.
And you can choose, you know, because again, salvaging is what we're here for. Of course, correcting that's what we promote, course correcting. So we want to give the peacekeeping task. And again, this just builds off of the liaison's potentiality as well. And again, because they're not directly, intimately involved or obligated within the assembly, of course, they're a part of their assembly, but they've removed themselves so that they can hyper focus on building that interface. And at some point, some of our assembly's liaisons in training are already comfortably now in that realm is, yes, I can provide this. I have no compunction. I have no reservations about meeting with my state bureau of investigator, whoever that might be. Every state has a bureau of investigations, the federal bureau of investigation. they're not as, they shouldn't be considered as volatile as some would report, especially not having been given the opportunity to explain their, the allegations, you know. So who could provide that as a kind of a mediated platform? Your state liaison. And they can meet at a place, a location that is an office setting and can meet comfortably. And then that liaison can provide concerns that the assemblies may have, or more, not so much concerns as they are opportunities.
That is so awesome. I really see the potential. You know, once all the assemblies really get to comprehend what it is that the PKTF is doing, I see that this is a huge opportunity. Because it's really an underutilized opportunity as far as I can tell. But with that in mind, I want to congratulate you on your new conference, room, you know, that building you've got. That's amazing. All of us should have a dedicated professional location where we can have meetings with our de facto counterparts, you know, like where we can have these heart to heart meetings with the people that are, you know, accountable for delivering their side of the thing. You know what I mean? We got to educate them on what's going on. So that's amazing, Joe. So high five to you. What an inspiration that is. Way to go. And then lastly, can you just, you know, in as brief as possible, because there's a lot of people on the call, you know, from seasoned folks that have been around a long time all the way to brand new people just starting to get involved. Can you share two things? One, the sort of hierarchy structure of the PKTF, you know, what are the titles of the position holders on our assembly that would be within the framework of the PKT, you know, the peacekeepers in general? And then secondarily, would the peacekeeping task force liaison that gets, you know, the volunteers here on California, would they be the one that would write letters to the de facto when we get our notices perfected? Who's the one that should be sending those notices if we don't have a chair? We don't have a chair, and the coordinator's not supposed to be the one that sends the letters. So I'm just wondering if the PKTF liaison would be involved in any of that.
Well, let me try to answer your question, your second part first. I think between the liaisons coming into their element on each state kind of emphasizes the necessity to have a chair and to build that relationship. And between the two, and the consistent publication opportunity through, because of the assemblies and through the liaison having a meeting space, a lot of these letters can be hand delivered by the liaisons themselves. And of course, the contingency is to then mail them. So probably both opportunities simultaneously is the offer. And that should be, I mean, we would encourage that your assemblies would provide that publication option. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a great way to provide documents. And again, those meetings are also recorded.
Right.
I don't want to disparage how investigators investigate, but courtroom meetings are audio video recorded, interrogations are audio video recorded. So, and anything that's newsworthy is usually audio video recorded. So your liaisons will offer that same opportunity. So when documents, I mean, and it comes down to this, when documentation are provided, it's audio video recorded during those meetings. And if that's cost effective, I think that it would be as evidence to having certain documents handed from your liaison to that state attorney general physically. That goes a long way.
Oh, yeah. Those face-to-face meetings really do go a long way. Because we sometimes think of like these corporations as like these giant, you know, overly large things that we can't penetrate. But you know what? There's men and women that have these titles that serve in positions and they're doing their job, right? That's what they say. I'm just doing my job. They have no idea where they fit in the puzzle in terms of the way that the organization might be a perpetrator against free people. Right. So, all of this educating and information, I think, is going to be key. All right, super. So what about that hierarchy structure? What positions are considered to be within the framework of peacekeepers?
Well, the peacekeepers are that you have to look at the jurisdiction and then how do you mirror those jurisdictions? There's only three external peacekeepers and peacemakers that we have across our jurisdiction. You have the state element that is would be that your assembly militia leader and providing state border defense. So there's that state element. Then you have that which bounds beyond each state, so that's your international land and sea jurisdiction, continental marshals, and their counterparts. So let me back up. Your government sponsor, your government led federal government sponsored state National Guard is the counterpart to your, actually, I don't want to say state National Guard. And it's under a National Guard Bureau. Their counterpart is your state guard or your state guardian. That's the actual defense. Your state guardians are your assembly militia state defense forces. Okay, and they are purely reactionary. There's nothing offensive that should be considered at all regarding your assembly militia. Okay, as far as defense goes. Okay, and then their counterparts to the U.S. Marshals Service, the old federal marshals, are the Continental Marshals. So there's those two. And then you have your county reeves. A reeve is it your county guardians and the shire or the city function where they operate out of. Their counterpart is what's called a sheriff. So the distinction between county sheriff, it's redundant because a reeve focuses on a county, but not the city center. They operate within the city center, but they have sovereignty and are guardians of their county, countywide. So the shire portion, maybe this is a little bit trivial, but it should be known at some point that the current sheriff today is sort of like a constable.
He's like a what?
He's functioning as it would be a constable.
Constable. Because, okay.
Yeah. That's kind of the that's what it appears to be based on the evidence of how they operate, where they don't take upon themselves full county sovereign guardianship because they have augmented services that are functioning out of their shire, their city center, where their county seat is in the city center. So the shire is, or the reeve is the actual guardian. So now we have a mixture or a kind of a redundancy calling a county sheriff. Where's the shire? The shire portion needs to be removed from that equation.
Mm.
So your county reeves is what your land and soil jurisdiction guardian is at the county level, and their counterpart is a municipal sheriff. Just kind
of. Oh wow, that is fascinating. I feel like we need a whole mop and bucket just to see what that looks like. Because you know we elect sheriffs on our county assemblies, right? And so we think of that is the title, but basically what I'm hearing you say is, the incorporated government uses that terminology and that's what they've called their county reeve, you know, is a shire reeve, but ours is just the reeve.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that. Don't you love learning something new, you guys? I love it when I learn something I didn't know before. Amazing, Joe. Wow. Okay, so everybody take note. Ours is supposed to be a reeve, but when is that going to happen? When are we going to stop calling ours a sheriff?
Well, I do believe they've laid the groundwork for us to become more conscious and appreciative of these deficiencies that they've created. And just simply embrace them and move forward with them. It's almost as if some would say, look, all it takes is to discover these differentiations, you know, and be respected of the fact that, or the evidence that this may be the case and just move forward with it. So.
Wow. You know what? Education makes all the difference.
The assemblies can implement this instantly.
And if you do look at that, okay.
Sure. Yeah, and it doesn't say, it's just very surface level investigation. You can dive further into this. We have this available as well, but you can go back as far as as early as, when say the 60s, 1960, 1970, where even the notion of sovereign citizen was actually appreciated to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And then it was, which, you know, this is a whole campaign that PKTF is diving into as well. And it's a lot of research with that. I won't go into that, but even the sheriffs back in the mid 1900s, was attempting to separate them or regain their own sovereignty for their counties and were recognizing the people back then, their constituency, those who elected them as sovereign, but they never took, I guess they never made the connection of voluntary versus involuntary servitude. So they referred to their own people as sovereign citizens. And I think at some point it was leveraged and made into a pejorative as it is today. And again, I see it in my research team. We see it as a paper tiger to be destroyed. You know, rhetorically, of course, through proper lawful conjecture. And we are. So to answer your question, Michelle, go ahead and implement that and just build that association, encourage our affiliation nationwide with other Reeves, County Reeves, build that communication so that the Continental Marshals on their site and on PKTF's site can begin to have a web presence similar to the National Sheriff's Association, which I admire their effort to associate themselves. Well, we affiliate ourselves, but they, you know, we want to try to forego certain pejoratives or semantics where we're able. So we affiliate, they associate, but the National Sheriff's Association.
We affiliate, they associate. Okay, we affiliate.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, yeah. So if you want to, you know, again, and since we're on the topic of county guardianship, we do encourage anybody that's even just remotely interested, but confidently, not so much remotely that it's not, you cannot feel the abstract. But if you're interested in learning more about being a guardian for your county, then you can join our Peace Bridge Network, learn more, learn how to build that decorum and learn more about that role. And with the assistance of your liaisons can help bridge that interface from a safe distance from the assembly, so that your current state of state and local law enforcement also has that comfortable distance, but can still inquire, you know, and then they can learn that indeed our assemblies are providing that lawful guardianship for their local, state, and international, the continent of America.
Amazing. Thank you, Joe. Now, listen, we had a couple of additional questions. I saw that Marshall David had an open mouth emoji, and I'm going to go off camera for 2 seconds to handle a little doggy emergency over there. I'll be right back.
Thank you, Michelle. So, Joe, the actual title of our county peacekeeper is not sheriff. It's actually, is it County Reeve or is it just Reeve?
County Reeves, yeah.
Okay. So if they got a star, when they do get a star, it would say County Reeve on it instead of sheriff.
Well, I don't know, but that's a workshop kind of element. There's nothing written, but the distinction and differentiation it needs to be discussed. Now, that what you're talking about is in a workshop setting, so I could tell you. Whether they're called County Reeve, a published differentiation between that of your county sheriff, simultaneously, I mean, I don't know. Again, that's a workshop kind of thing.
But it wouldn't be Shire Reeve.
No.
No. That's actually what became the sheriff.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, right. So the Shire is your city center. today, that's where your county sheriff operates. They maintain a safe, expedient distance to their sheriffs, their courthouse, and their jail, and they and their clerk's office. And which is interesting because their deputies then run all across the county, and that's accurate. But there are Reeves. There are that's which is a Kingsman. And their role is that of a guardian. Now, to add city, county, that's the, that is would be the, how do you say, sheriff or shiree is to say city guardian, you know, city guardian, I thought it was a county guardian. So county reeve, county guardian. Is the most precise title for that protector.
County guardian. Okay, so now we're getting away from Reeve entirely.
No, county Reeve.
Yeah, okay, okay. All right, so it's an equivalent of county guard.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, I got it. I'm clear now, Joe. But thank you.
Shire is city.
Okay.
So city guardian or county guard? See?
Okay, so, and the city is, is really the empire of the city, isn't it?
Well, it's where your county seat is, your assembly. Your assembly would be, and your accountability, seats, that's where they're located.
Okay.
And so would your sheriff's office, for that matter, or your Reeves office. So.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Joe.
I have to cut out here at the bottom of the hour. We can take a few more questions, or I can stick around until
okay. Then.
Susan has her hand up.
Yeah, we've got one more. I think we could squeeze it in. Go ahead, Joe. I mean, Susan.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Joe, I have an article here from Anna. She talks about peacekeeping task force. I just wanted to read a little bit about it to just let the General Assembly here in Mop and Bucket know what her perception is about the peacekeeping task force. These three peacekeeping forces, sheriffs, militias, and marshals, need to work together to protect the American people from enemies both foreign and domestic. The mission of the peacekeeping task force is to support each of these three branches of the peacekeeping services to promote cooperation and networking across the jurisdictional boundaries and to help them secure educational and material resources needed to do their jobs. In other words, the peacekeeping task force is supposed to help and support each branch of the peacekeepers individually and collectively. They are supposed to be doing this with full understanding of what peacekeeping is and with commitment to the work of peacekeeping. Additionally, the PKTF is charged with helping our assemblies and assembly members to prepare for civil unrest, supply chain interruptions, and natural disasters. The focus of all peacekeepers is public safety and enforcement of the public law, first, last, and always. Our peacekeepers are our first and our last line of defense against criminals and criminality. So, I just wanted to, it is our volunteers who hold the final line between criminality and justice, our sheriffs, our state assembly militias, and our continental marshals. So I just wanted to read that to let people know a little bit more about what you do.
Thank you, Susan. And yes, all of that, every bit of that endeavor spawns from your assembly militia. Okay, every single aspect, every endeavoring to move forward with and maintain and salvage law enforcement and peacekeeping. It happens within that interface, within your assembly militia. So your liaisons will be focusing on developments taking place within your assembly militia. Those who come to your assembly with the skills and expertise or aspirations to be your county reeve, to join at the within your postal area for services that your continental marshals can provide. And your state defense forces against violent issues or altercations at your state board. And with that as well, So thank you, Susan. Yes, that's perfect. But it happens within your assembly militia pillar. And your liaisons will provide to your general assemblies through that, maybe as a subcommittee within your oversight. Typically, that's where they'll be. There is no other reporting platform for them. But as part of a standing committee, maybe as a subcommittee in your oversight, they'll provide those reports to, as far as the Federation's qualification aspect for each assembly, providing that report and then pacifying any concerns that your electorates have. And there are opportunities to adopt whatever services that your assembly militia is providing along those lines. But yes, building that interface with current law enforcement, local and state, that is what that article is referring to.
Thank you.
Michelle, you're muted.
I'm sorry. I see that you have your hand up, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, I probably should have asked Joe at the beginning when he came on to give a little bit of background about himself and how he got into this position and what different things that he is responsible for. Because Joe is also, he's got a background in working as an ombudsman. And so he's also done some training that's available for our ombudsman, whoever that is. Okay, so Joe, you're shaking your head. So you want to clarify what I just incorrectly stated?
Yes. Although I do have 720 consecutive days in medical command within the United States Army through the Warrior Transition Battalion, I worked with probably the best ombudsman service that organization can provide. But the Peacekeeping Task Force, as an organization that is responsible to the assemblies, the Peacekeeping Task Force does not offer that. And honestly, I'm way too busy, although I would really jump on the opportunity if I had the time available to provide ombudsman service. I can advocate for its effectiveness. It is centuries old in its conflict resolution ability. Its chemistry is just phenomenal. It was whoever designed it. I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. But I know North America had its part in refining and streamlining its process and to the point that I was able to experience for 2 years, day and night for 2 years. And it's fantastic. So as far as your internal peacekeeping, one of them being the Ombudsman Service, which is a state, America State National position, I encourage all assemblies to get moving on finding the resources. It's an industry standard. There's not a lot of moving parts behind it. But the Peacekeeping Task Force doesn't offer that training.
Okay. All right. I think I was speaking more about you personally than I was about PKTF, and you're not doing, that's not your job description, but it is your history and work experience that helped to build you into this and prepare you for the role that you've got today. So.
Well, I worked alongside them constantly. Yeah. Nurse case managers, service providers, critical care for wounded soldiers, whether that, they were dealing with injuries or illnesses, mental illnesses, physical injuries, while they were transitioning through medical retirement. That was part of the staff, the cadre was the Ombudsman Service. So just know that the United States Army doing its part, I can tell you, I can vouch as proof that to the degree I myself as cadre, worked right alongside these folks for 2 years, 720 days and nights. And they are awesome.
Right on, Joe. Thank you, Joe, for taking the time out on your weekend and spending the time with us today. We totally appreciate all that you brought forth here, and I think it surely opened up some eyes to what the PKTF liaison position is. And I'm looking forward to having a volunteer to step up for that role. That's super integral to our growth.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you. Can we, and we, is there a chance that we get you back again sometime?
Sure. Let's maybe, build off of what we talked about today so that maybe that's part of our next meeting, maybe next month or something like that.
That'd be wonderful, Joe. We'll just stay in touch, and you and I can talk, weekly like we agreed to do, and I'll just try to keep on bringing stuff forward for everybody.
Yeah, thank you. As well, California, or I probably have others from other states. I just so that I can share my perspective, the California Assembly is so open. You have a wide audience, as far as I can tell, and they are appreciative even of the kind of the jagged edges that your assembly, as if to say you're real men and women. And that is attractive to a lot of onlookers on the fringes. And so that's one aspect. But the fact that you take the time to share your meetings in such a lucid manner, it's just fantastic. So this meeting, as others, goes a long way worldwide. I mean, we get emails and appreciating what others have had because of the California Assembly sharing their meeting minutes, their opportunities to meet. So super great. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Joe, thank you so much. You've got an open invitation whenever, and we will definitely schedule to get you back. You know, today's officially June 1st, so I guess we'll be looking at July at some point. So I'll coordinate with that, with you on that, and we'll get you back in July. Thank you so much for your abundant wealth of knowledge and sharing with us all the different ways that our assembly can, keep up to date with what the PKTF is doing. I encourage all of our members to subscribe to the newsletter and also to the Telegram channel. And, you know, for those of you that might be feeling called to serve our assembly as a PKTF liaison, please let me know, and I'll make the appropriate introduction to Joe to get that ball rolling, okay? All right, Joe, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Stick around as long as you possibly can, and we're going to go ahead and move on our meeting.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, California.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
Okay, everybody. So next up on our agenda, let me pull up that agenda here. Okay, next up on the agenda is, okay, I'm going to just give you a brief Sign in America update, and then I'll go on to an open letter that I received. So let me just do a new screen share here. Bah, bah, bah. Oh, it's only going to let me share one at a time. Okay. I have three different screenshots open, and I wanted to show them to you in, you know, all at once so that you can see the succession, but it's making me do like one at a time. So I guess that's how I'm going to have to do it. All right. So there's this one. Oh, shoot. Okay. So there was an email that went out this week regarding Sign in America. And the email was sent out by our Sign in America coordinator, and part of the email included this sentence, quote, "The California Assembly cannot receive any payouts without a commercial bank account set up and functioning." So I went, oh boy, that's the first time I've heard that. So I decided to just check in with Anna because that I had not heard that before, and I wanted to make sure that it was either true or not true. Okay, so because sometimes I do miss things, as evidenced by missing about the document management server. You know, sometimes I'm the last to know because I miss a meeting or something like that, right? So I asked the question, and then Anna did get back to me, and this is her part of her response, and then I'll go on to the next page. Okay. She said, no, that's no longer true. Our GFA, Global Family, I don't know what the A stands for. Our GFA system is able to function as your bank. It's a land jurisdiction commercial bank as well as an international trade bank. We don't want or need to leave any funds of any kind at the mercy of bankrupt maritime banks in commerce. The plan is to erase, hold on one more second. The plan is to erase. The plan is to erase present mortgages for everyone and then go back and pay the SIA claims from the past. And I said, thank you. I know it's not ready for simple day-to-day transactions, but I comprehend that's what we will have. Thank you. So I just want everyone to be on the same page regarding that email. I did send this immediately over to our Sign in America coordinator. And you know what? I realized I need to send it to our co-coordinator too. Are you on the call, Nicole Connor? I don't see Nicole Connor. Okay. I'll be sure to send it to her too. I'm realizing right now I didn't CC her, so I will do that. But anyway, just keep that in mind regarding the Sign in America process in case you got that same email. We are, of course, looking for a treasurer because we need to be able to open up our bank account. Anna, of course, is just now encouraging us that we're going to open that up with Global Family. So, but we need a treasurer on our assembly. Okay. Any questions about Sign in America? I only have like surface level information about Sign in America, but any general questions about Sign in America? Okay, Rich, Rich Wright. Oh, your hand went down. Did you change your mind? Okay, go ahead, Rich.
Hi, guys. I think I'm on. Thank you for inviting me to the room. It's not exactly about SIA particularly, but it's a problem around the account and the whole banking family. Should I ask that question now or not?
Well, it depends. I mean, you feel free to answer it, and if I know the answer, I'll give you the answer. But
What I'm seeing, and I'm so glad I'm in a room with a bunch of smart Americans, because I see that we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot in the sense of guys like myself and a handful of other really what I could say would be valuable people being held.
Oh, shoot. You're really
a conflict with the bank. And a conflict that it's probably most an understanding. And so speaking on behalf of myself and other people, Anna has suggested that we, you know, try to make amends with the bank family and, you know, ingratiate ourselves. But there doesn't appear to be a way to get through. And I've spoken to several people who are very active, some in the assembly and, you know, most are helping grow the movement. Like myself, I'm constantly, you know, introducing people to it and that sort of thing. So, is there a way that good people don't get thrown out with the bathwater? I don't want to be in the same group of the people that's going in and causing trouble in Houston. You know what I'm saying? We sent a message, for example, that was, you know, neither, you know, rude or aggressive or anything like that, but was perceived the wrong way. So, and I feel that's happened to other people I've spoken with as well. What's the best way to make amends is where I'm at, you know, because sending emails to publish, they never answer. And I'm getting the same from others that it's something I guess we have to wait for and wait for that window to open. So I'm asking you guys, what do you think? Should we try to look for that window? Because good people are being left on the sidelines, you know, who would normally participate if they had the support that we're all going to enjoy here. So, you know, what do you guys think? Is this a possibility to bring this up somehow through a channel that can reach the banking family to say, hey, you know, we need to be more discerning, you know, with those who are clearly out of line. And those who are just, you know, misunderstood or were taken the wrong way kind of thing. You follow what I'm saying? So does anybody have any thoughts on that? No?
He's opening it up to the floor for anybody who has ideas or feedback.
I listen to all of Anna's videos, I read all of her articles. I've been a fly on the wall since 2020 and 2021 when you signed me up, Michelle. And I feel it's time now for me to, that it's really saturated within me. And I'm seeing this whole movement as more of a family entity as opposed to a corporate type entity. And that the values of family are about my talents, which are, you know, think tank analysis and strategies and conflict resolution and things like that. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, we all make mistakes. I sent what I thought, for example, was a simple text support. Hey, dude, what's going on? And it was poorly perceived and it got me kicked out. And so it's made me feel rejected when my heart's fully into this thing. And I felt the same thing when I talked to Kimberly Jones and when I talked to Paul Brandel and a couple of others. And they're like, yeah, their hearts are in this movement, but we've been set out for reasons that we think we should really be forgiven for and at least talk about and have our apologies accepted. You follow what I'm saying? So that's where we are. I'm so with Anna that we need to come at this. We need to come at this whole de facto system like a herd of buffalo in a sense, you know. And the more people that have their hearts into it, the more I think that's going to help us. And I'm feeling like, oh, whoops, you know, I slipped and you got the wrong idea kind of feeling. And I felt the same from Kimberly Jones and Paul Brandel and on their behalf, not necessarily. But I'm asking, is there a window that we could find? Or how do we get there to be part of this movement again, full force? You follow? That's where I am. So
yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. And I also hear, you know, I'm hearing that you regret whatever, you know, whatever it was that you said that may have led to this.
Yeah, I thought I was talking to a tech support guy and I was short and I was freaked out, you know. I said, "Why, you know, what is legit here?" You know, I uploaded my dog because a friend of mine was ripped off $68,000 when he signed in to his broker account, and he said it wasn't only signing into the broker account, but he said they had an AI duplicate his voice. They had they were texting him and everything, and because of this kind of possibility and vulnerability, I sent a simple email to a tech support to confirm that what I'd just done was legit by uploading my sensitive documents. And they perceived it as some sort of affront, even though it wasn't threatening or abusive or insulting or, you know, anything like that. It was asking questions about, is this a legitimate connection? Because I've just uploaded all my sensitive documents. And this is well over a year ago that this happened to me. And since then, as I've learned, I'm like, well, okay, there are very, very bad people, I guess, that are not interested in the movement. They're more interested in being fearful and, you know, going after movement in a sense. So I'm confused. I don't want to feel heartbroken, but it's like, wait, guys, you got the wrong idea. I feel the same for Kimberly Jones. She's a lovely lady and she's very active in Texas. And I talked to Paul up north who's making the ID cards and everything. So it's like, well, these are good people that are being pushed out. And I think I need help from you guys to find a way, you know, to shake hands and hug and give our sincere apology to giving the wrong impression to the bank family. You know, we should all be part of this. And so far over a year, I've been trying to communicate, but I get nothing. So I'm reaching out to you guys to see if there's a way to communicate or connect.
Okay. You've got some feedback. Susan James has her open mouth emoji. Go ahead, Susan James.
Yeah. Maybe reaching out to Aki Hunter. Josh Pelletier. Those would be the two people I would start out with.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. I think Josh is the one who a year ago took it wrong and completely blacklisted me. So that's the dead-end street for me, from what I've gathered. And as far as Hunter, I don't know if I have a way to contact him, you see. So I appreciate the advice, but I'm kind of at a dead end in that sense, you know?
Uh-huh. I know on their website they do have a little saying there that they refuse to do service with evil. That's what they say.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I come from love, you know. I've been married to the same lovely lady for 40 years. We raised two amazing sons that are in university and college right now. It's like I'm the perfect guy at basically retirement age to start really putting his heart and his energy into this movement. Now that I've learned for the past 4 years or so, you know, so that's kind of where I stand in a sense that I've been telling Michelle over the years that I really want to volunteer. I want to be a part of this movement. But at the same time, raising a family and trying to run businesses, it was difficult to break free and to have the income support to commit. And now I'm at that point, where I see that, yes, this is the opportunity to have the kind of support to be able to commit time to volunteer and really participate where it's needed. And that's where we are. I yield unless you guys have some ideas or ask questions.
I do. I know that there's a new, I don't know how new, but I found out on Thursday night that there's another volunteer working with the Global Family.
Yes.
So maybe with a fresh set of eyes, perhaps, you know, I could connect you with her on an email.
I'd be delighted, yes.
And, you know, you could pick it up from there and just
I'd be happy to because, I feel it's just a big misunderstanding in my case. But I'd love to share this information with these lovely people that I spoke with. I don't know if you know Kimberly or Paul, but I'm like, wow, their heart's into it, too. You know, and the more I listen to Anna, the more I sit in on these meetings, the more I watch the mop and bucket and listen to, you know, the conversations, I'm seeing where I can fit in because I've acquired the knowledge now to understand where I'll make the most benefit to the movement. And like I said, that's in places like conflict resolution. It's in places like strategy and think tank sort of challenges and problem solving. That's where I'm best employed. So I want to show my commitment. I want to show that, you know, this means a lot to me. So if you can help, that would be great. I'd love to connect. Thank you.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll connect you with the new volunteer by email, Rich, and then
there, you know. I'm all about, you know, love. So we'll see if it comes back, you know what I'm saying? We'll go from there and I'll do my best and let you know how it goes.
Okay, super.
All right. Thank you.
You're Goodbye, welcome. Everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
I'll sit in still and listen, but
yes, please do. This is your government.
I know. It, like I said, it feels like a family. I've had a great conversation with Attilio. Attilio's an amazing talent. He's what a brain he has, you know. So it's like guys like us, we want to get together and we want to work together on behalf of the movement. And I don't want to feel rejected. That's all. Okay.
That's so great. How did you meet Attilio? Because you don't come onto meetings very often.
No, that's true. It's through Telegram. He's very active on Telegram and he's full of information. And by listening and watching his writings and conversations, I said he must be a fellow that's very much like myself. You know, I could identify the qualities in him and I said, I have to talk to this guy. So, and it turns out he's absolutely lovely. And he's insanely clever and has great strategy and a huge heart. So I connected with that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I'm not very active on Telegram, as you guys probably know. So
yeah, probably you're so busy. I mean, it's crazy. Thank you for everything you do because you're bringing all of us along. And because of you and coming to those monthly meetings, it's just cemented my resolve to, you know, to really move forward with this. So thank you again. And I'll let you go. I yield.
All right. Thank you, Rich. Thank you for being here with us today. And I hope to see you at our potluck tomorrow.
Okay. Yes, I will.
Same place, same park. Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Anything else about, you know, this, it was signed in America, blah, 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 before we move on. Okay. All right. Let's move on in that case. Okay. Next up on the agenda, we've got, okay. So open letter. I received an open letter. I'm going to read it to you. Pull this up. I did forward it appropriately to the right. Let's see here. Okay. I received this open letter from Albert Schroyer, who has been on the assembly for a while, but he hasn't been participating. You know, he started participating again very recently in our assembly. So he's been, I don't know whether or not he's been listening to the playbacks, or I can't speak regarding Albert's participation whatsoever. But I did receive this email from him on, oh, am I sharing? Can you see this?
I can see that, yes. I'll take
Oh, whoops. Oh, sorry.
It's Richard Wright. It says Richard Wright, not Albert.
Sorry, not Albert. Sorry. This should be the right one. Is this the right one?
Oh, yeah, yes. There's a letter there.
Okay, so on May 30th at 7:46 p.m., I received this letter. The subject is open letter to Marshall David Gall. He says, Michelle, would you kindly send this communication below to Marshall David Gall? I am not sure that I have his correct email address, and would you please copy all assembly members on California on your distribution list so that they may be informed? Thank you, Albert Schroyer. So before I read the open letter, I just want everybody to know we pay a monthly service to be able to do email distributions. We have the lowest level for the amount of email addresses that we have. And so I specifically use it for our need to know state assembly business, like our agendas, and that's basically it. I do the weekly email blast for the assembly in order to stay within the parameters of our number of emails that I can send out. So I have no intention whatsoever of sending this open letter to the entire email distribution list. I won't be spending our money that way. So I will be reading this letter to you in lieu of doing an email. And Albert did let me know that he couldn't make it to today's meeting. So hopefully, Albert, you'll be catching the playback so you could see that I brought this to the assembly. It says, David, you have been in your role as Marshal at Arms, not for a short time, but for years now, unless I am mistaken. Yet I am left with the impression that you do not sufficiently understand your role or the limitations of it, or you are simply disrespectful of the position itself. This is not acceptable. The manner in which you brought forward your opposition to Lord Jordan has impacted the spirit and productivity of the assembly. I'm quite certain that it's been handled the wrong way. It's been humiliating for all concerned. Our assembly is injured by such disregard, and this behavior is not befitting a man elected to protect the assembly. There are acceptable ways to bring sensitive matters forward, and despite your conviction, the bulk of what you've stated and repeated several times at multiple meetings stands as hearsay. I believe we must set the bar quite a bit higher in terms of professional behavior. Our meetings are public. Our time is valuable. I'm wondering if you would consider the following as a strongly suggested course correction. One, honestly research to determine whether a law has been broken or whatever it is you believe has been done and who the injured party might be. Two, discover what steps you should have taken but did not to bring the matter as you saw it forward in the proper, factual, lawful, and honorable way. Three, present the specifics with references when you give your report at the next General Assembly meeting so that all may benefit from what you learn. I want to believe you wish to remain in honor and correct the dishonorable behavior you have displayed. I offer you this opportunity to amend your approach. Sincerely, Albert Schroyer, ASN on Contra Costa County, California. So, oh shoot, I just realized his phone number is on this. Darn it, that means I'm not going to be able to put this up on the link tree. Okay. Oh, bummer. I didn't know that till the end. Okay, so I'm simply bringing it to the entire General Assembly, you know, all of you here, and I'll bring it to Wednesday night's General Assembly meeting as well. Because of my role as a coordinator, when I receive something like an open letter like this with a request to bring it to the people, it's not my job to keep it from the people or engage in any politics. But I did forward it to Marshall David as he requested. And Marshall David, is there anything that you want to say about this letter? Or I just want to give you the floor to speak to this.
Well, I think one of the issues that we have a problem with is people don't understand the role of Marshal at Arms. And there's presumptions that are being made right off the bat and throughout that letter that are incorrect. First of all, I haven't had this role for years. I was elected, this past fall. I served in the capacity on an interim basis, but it was controversial the whole time. And I was under constant attack the whole time. But anyway, be that as it may, we don't have an ombudsman. And some of these issues that we've had that we've struggled with in our assembly are really issues that need to get resolved in the ombudsman committee. Without that, I'm wearing a hat that I'm not supposed to be wearing. And that's going to cause some issues that are going to come up because it's not my role. And then somebody wants to have our assembly meeting be a court. That's not the role. That's not the function of our assembly either. We have to have a court. So there's a number of things that are being, put into this letter that are presumptive that I can't do anything about. All I can do is point out issues, and if he doesn't understand what has transpired, because I'm not sharing all the evidence that goes along with it, because I'm not willing to pervert a potential jury, what are we supposed to do? If there's a crime that's been committed, that's up to the grand jury to decide. And, we're not holding open court all the time. So we have full transparency as much as, we're supposed to be able to do, but at the risk of what? Not being able to have something done, by the grand jury. So how are we supposed to handle that? We're all required to report things that we see report the evil and oppose the evil, and yet we're not supposed to be holding court like that. So it's a damned if you do and damned if you don't situation. So I'm just trying to do my job as best as I can possibly do it. With the training that we've had. So we'll just move forward and take it one step at a time. And with that, you.
Great. Thank you, Marshall David. Okay. Moving on. Now I saw that Johnny put in the chat to check your email from GFG. But I don't want to derail the whole meeting regarding that. So, Johnny, is there something specific about the email that you received that's urgent that we need to know about right now? I know you're on North Carolina, but I do want to ask you if there's anything urgent. Okay, no, I see it in the chat. All right. Then everyone after the meeting, check your email, okay? Apparently it's nothing urgent at this time. So, All right, moving on. Let's see what else we've got up on our agenda. Oh, shoot. Where did my mop and bucket go? Yikes. Okay, next up we've got, oh, yay, this is the funnest part of this whole meeting. Okay. Next up we've got the nationwide outreach effort. So I actually ended up downloading Telegram onto my computer so that I could do a screen share of this. So let me pull it up. Okay. Sometimes Zoom is a funny thing when you're trying to do a screen share. So please bear with me one more moment as I'm trying to pull this up. Okay, outreach. Here we go. Fine. Okay. Can everybody see that?
Yes, Michelle.
Yes. Great. Okay. Super. So
almost clear.
There is a Telegram channel called TASA Outreach Think Tank. Okay. So those of you that are on Telegram, you should search for that particular group. I'm not sure about how all the settings are and all of that, but if you have any difficulty, let me know and I'll connect you with Tammy Healy, who is one of the administrators along with Bart Drager. They're kind of spearheading this effort regarding countrywide outreach effort where, you know, they're distributing marketing ideas that we can actually use if we want to, right here on the California Assembly. So I'm going to read this document that they prepared. It's called Volunteers Needed. I've already downloaded it, so I'm going to do a screen share of the document itself. And then I'm also going to share the postcard that they created. I thought it was really awesome. Actually, I think it's two different postcards. Okay, is this large enough for everybody to read? I hope so. Let's see here. I might need to go like this. Volunteers needed. Okay, so they just had this meeting on May 30th, just the other day. Our nationwide outreach think tank committee has adopted and is helping to develop a new initiative called the 1776 Union Restored Nationwide Outreach Project. It was initiated and developed by an American state national, Louise Campbell Anthony. She's one of the, she's an Ohioan on, you know, she's on Ohio. And who is making a grassroots effort to propel the restoration of our de jure American government forward to full function in a strategic, collaborative, and expedient fashion. She also initiated it to rescue our fellow Americans from bonded servitude to the foreign United States government and from their ignorance. She proposes it to be a union effort, meaning from the soil level jurisdiction. That's, you know, as a reminder, that's county level. To posture our American government to take the world stage and to engage, quote, we the people in our self-governance. Now, I just want to point out this, right? We the people, it's a lowercase p in this case because it's soil. When it's uppercase P, that would be a state citizen level, all right? So she's basically engaging all state nationals with this style of the letters. We are inviting all state assemblies and state nationals to participate. Below is a description of the project's phases. We are asking that you announce this project to your nationals on record and to your assemblies and inform them that they can contact us via email. This is Tammy's email, tammyannhealy@proton.me, or to attend our next think tank meeting on June 5th. So that's going to be coming up this week at 7:30 to 9 p.m. And that's going to be Eastern time, you guys. So for us, that's 4:30 p.m. Until 6 p.m., which our General Assembly starts at 5:30. So people would either, you know, those of us that hold, you know, you guys that have positions need to be on our General Assembly. So you'd have to hop off of the, if you go to this think tank meeting, you're going to have to hop off to be on General Assembly by 5:30. Okay. To learn about it and how you can participate, you can visit claimyourinheritance.info. Okay. This, you might want to write that down. Claimyourinheritance.info to view the project's development. When this project was initially presented to Anna, Louise asked her if she could do this in the name of the Federation. Anna approved the idea and asked to work with Louise on the detailed research to make sure it was up to date before launching. And then there's the Rumble countrywide coordinator training with Anna from February 29th. This is on our Rumble channel on Mop and Bucket. Anna reviewed the outline and preface, added to what Louise had written in the preface, but has not been able to get back to it because she has got bigger fish to fry. So some nationals stepped up to do edits and fact checking of all the website content to take on some of that burden. We are well on our way to launching this massive project soon. We would encourage everyone to watch Anna's latest webinar and hear her urgency to us to get on the world stage and to take our place as the only rightful American government now restored as the military attempts their long-planned federal republic impersonation scheme. The changing of the guards is happening right now. We can't allow the military to take our rightful place again. We must stand up every state and every county as quickly and as competently as we can. This MP3 of the May 27th, 2024, which was, when was that? Was that went Tuesday? Okay. We are planning for this project to launch in five phases. Phase one, international public notice postcard campaign. Targeted launch date is September 2024. The purpose of this postcard is for our American government to give official notice to the public of our adjudication of the crimes against the American people and the Federation's recovery of our assets that each man and woman now need to claim individually by correcting our political status. This serves as the official introduction of ourselves to the public as their newly restored American government in action via our official lawful channel, the Postal Service. So this is the postcard front and back. It has the QR code, international public notice. Like if you've ever gotten a postcard from the de facto, you know, you may have gotten one from IRS. You might have gotten one from your local, you know, municipal government, city council, county board of supervisors, the voting, you know, secretary of state, all these agencies, you know, when they need to give public notice to everybody, not only do they put it in the paper, but they also distribute these kinds of postcards as well. Now, because we are the, you know, the Federation is the United States of America with a capital T, it, of course, has our great seal on it. Oh, wow. I didn't realize my computer was so dim. It has our great seal and it's very official looking because it is official. Okay. but look at how awesome this is. Can you, I don't know. Let's see if I need to make it a little bit bigger. Oh man, my mouse doesn't want to listen to me. It's stuck in a square. Ugh. Okay. Okay. But it's, you may have a birthright inheritance waiting to be claimed. Scan the QR code to contact your local American State Assembly to learn more. For more information, scan the QR code to visit claimyourinheritance.info. This international public notice is to inform you that the foreign United States government has criminally converted our political status from an American to that of a foreign citizen. They have impersonated you and substituted themselves as your American government for over 160 years. In so doing, they stole your identity, your credit, your gold and your land assets. The Federation of States, DBA, the United States of America, unincorporated, 1776, has leaned the Foreign United States Governmental Services Corporations for breach of contract and fraud and recovered these assets on behalf of the American people. To claim the birthright and the financial assets that you are owed, contact your local American State Assembly to correct your political status. So it would be incumbent upon every county who's in the process of standing up our, your county, okay, to budget, you know, put some money together as your county and budget the printing costs of these postcards. And you may want to buy, you know, lists. Lists are available for purchase through the, I think through the Secretary of State, if I'm not mistaken. If anyone knows that, please let me know, because I can't remember the resource of where you can get like a voter list of de facto voters to get this out to them. You know what I mean? We want to inform people as much as possible. Of course, you can also do walk the block. I mean, you can drop these off and not have to pay for postage, you know? So you could just walk and divide up your neighborhoods and get this out there. But this is a incredibly massive effort. But let's go over phase two now. So phase two is declaring our independence 2.0 county tours. Targeted launch date, November 2024. So it's about 2 months after the postcard, the first postcards. Distribute brochures. What does political status mean? And why do you need to correct your political status? The purpose of the county tours is to be a follow through event to the postcard campaigns. These tours combine our energies and focus on populating our state and county assemblies in a strategic and consistent way. By having a tour of public events scheduled across your state, the public will see their newly restored American government in action in their own communities. They will see real faces and will have the opportunity to observe that we are competent to govern the people. They will be able to ask questions and learn what type of people are American state nationals, being that we are claiming they are one, two from birth. At these events, the assemblies can witness and or record declarations for people to claim their inheritance and hand out, quote, what does political status mean? And also, why do you need to declare your political status brochures? Or they can be emailed to the people upon first contact. So these are front and back of two of those two different flyers. This one, what does political status mean? And then this one, why do you need to declare your political status? Okay. So these are trifold brochures, all leading to TASA. Okay, so this part up here, of course, we're obviously not Ohio, so we would tailor the flyer to our state, and we don't have to go with this color scheme. You know, we could make some changes if we wanted to as an assembly, but if anybody on our assembly has I guess this would be in the realm of marketing, which I know sounds so corporate. Okay. But developing assets like this, it's kind of one of those things that takes some artistic talent and some, internet skills to be able to, you know, create something like this. But, the verbiage, you know, this has been a project between Louise and Anna. So, these great, you know, beautiful brochures that we could use if we want to. Now let's go over phase three. Phase three, the 1776union.tv. It's a web TV platform, and the targeted launch date is January or February of 2025. So that's going to be here before you know it. And the purpose of the web TV is to inform and educate on steroids freely and responsibly as we bring the people home to the land and soil in video format. Okay. The web TV platform has 8 menu categories and 5 news segments. The TV, I think this is going to be part of the, like what the website might look like or something like that with these different, you know, it'll have these different tabs. But the 8 menu categories, 1 is the TV schedule, 2 is news, 3 is the union restoration, 4 is going to have interviews, 5 is going to be, American State Nationals University, processes, classes, courses, homeschool for kids, We're going to have The Bridge. We're going to have docuseries and documentaries and a blog. The news segments are going to include Federation of States news, du jour news, de facto in the news, global news, and galactic news. And then phase four, the Union, the 1776union.com news blog website. Targeted launch date, again, is January/February 2025. This looks like the same. Oh, okay. The blog, this is about the blog. It has 9 menu categories and a shop. So the news blog, the 1776 Union TV, education, health, family, culture, finance, events, public announcements or public notice, and shop. Phase five, America's resurgence, 2027, after 160 years. There will be a 3-day event. The targeted launch date is at some point in 2027. The purpose of the 3-day event is to be the culminating event of this 5-phase project to finally take to the world stage and present ourselves to the world as the Federation of 50 in full force, backing our fiduciary, Anna. We invite our federal subcontractors to speak to their actions and come clean and offer an opportunity for reconciliation in the spirit of Robert David Steele, an ex-CIA agent who gave Anna a regular platform to speak before his passing. He promoted reconciliation for the corrupt deep state. We will demonstrate the bridge efforts we have taken to reach our hands across the table to invite them to reform their ways. If they decline to represent themselves and show up on the world stage, then we put whomever declines on blast to the world in our capacity as the newly restored Federation of 50 States, taking the control of our American government back due to their breach of contract and breach of trust. At this event, we will debut a full-length documentary explaining true American history entitled, quote, America's Resurgence, to captivate the spirit that Anna has encouraged us to have. This is why this particular title for this event was chosen. A panel discussion, 528 Hertz concert, and resurgence education seminars are being considered. The plan is to have access to our prosperity accounts to pay for this event and to hopefully have it while Anna and James are still living among us to witness the fruits of their labor. It's a 3-day event. On the Friday at the America's Resurgence event, it will be the movie debut at 7 p.m. It'll be the full-length documentary on how America came to be, the natives before the British colonies, American Revolution, sovereignty of William Belcher, natives, Spain, colonies, Britain, France, et cetera. Treaties that end the war led to 3 constitutions. Secret treaties continue expansion west. Civil war, the corporate South ceded from corporate North, not from the Union. Mercenary conflicts ravage America, 160 years of indentured servitude, provenance of James Belcher, hereditary claim to trust, Anna. Path to America's Reconstruction and Restoration and Resurgence of the uppercase P people, right, and lowercase P people. That would be state citizens and state nationals. Why this, you know, why this movie? So they're going to do a presentation, discussion, correcting the historical record. And then the next day, on Saturday, what it's going to look like, at least from today's perspective, from 9 to 12, they're going to be doing Storytelling America's True Independence Story. They're going to be going over the current parties to the 3 constitutions and invite, you know, to speak James Belcher or Anna, the Athabasca and Lakota nations, the British king or his representative, the Pope or his representative, U.S. territorial president, Congress or representative, U.S. municipal president, Congress or representative, and whoever don't represent without legit cause can get put on blast to the public as complicit to the crime. Those who show will demonstrate an effort towards reconciliation in memory of Robert David Steele. They call him RDS. And then there's going to be a lunch break and a panel discussion after that. And then the topic of the panel discussion will be when kingship was lowered down from heaven to earth. There's going to be Alana Bannon, emissary for Galactic Federation of Worlds, Billy Carson from ForbiddenKnowledge.tv, Sasha Stone, Reconciliation and Spirit of RDS at LazarusInitiative.com, Anna Von Reitz, fiduciary for the Federation of States, DBA, the United States of America, unincorporated, a world government historian and a conspiracy, quote, conspiracy theory historian. There's also going to be, Dr. Stephen Greer, UFO disclosure. Then there's going to be a dinner. There's going to be a Q&A for the panelists after dinner. And then there's going to be a concert from 9 until 11. And then they're only going to have 528 Hertz artists that perform, mitigating the tampered musical scales and disharmonizing effects. And then on Sunday, the final part of the event will be the Resurgence Spirit of America seminars, you know, self-governing by consent of the governed, how to build an assembly, reconciling with the natives de facto and regaining public trust, mitigation solutions for the harms done. We need state national volunteers to be presenters at these seminars. And then that's it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this PDF into the chat because I know I just blasted right through all of this. But this is, you know, a project that's going on right now. And, you know, some people are really minded towards local. Some people are really minded towards, you know, a little bit broader, like county. Some people are minded towards state. And some people are minded towards, you know, the whole country, right? It just kind of depends on where your mind is at. We all need to participate locally, but even if we don't hold roles locally. So this is obviously a huge endeavor, both the local level with the campaign, the postcard campaign and the county tours. And then on a broader scale, you know, everything from the TV, Union 1776 Union TV, and the 3-day event. So depending on where your heart is called, you might feel called to actually work with the outreach people on organizing this effort. So if that happens to be you, you know, they are having their meeting on the 5th and you should check out their Telegram channel and become a follower of that channel so that you can stay up to date and informed. And frankly, I would love it if that ends up being you, whoever you are out there, if you decide you want to do this, I would love it if you would be the point person for the state, for our state assembly, so that you can keep all of us up to date on the progress of that project. What do we need to do to support it? You know, because not everybody can wear every single hat. The way it is right now is we need all hands I don't want to say on deck. We need all hands to help us stand up our four pillars, right? So we need our court clerk. We need our treasurer. Like, these are urgent needs that we have right here on our California assembly. But beyond that, you know, if you're called to support this effort, please, please do participate. And, thank you for letting me, you know, I know it was very long. So with that being said, are there any questions about this outreach effort that I just went over?
Michelle, this is Janice. This is incredible. I am only one person on my county, and all I can do is absolutely pray that this gets here and everywhere. The list of names and everything that you said, I'm not sure if anybody understands the absolute magnitude.
The magnitude.
Magnitude is massive. The acknowledgement.
Exactly.
Oh my God! Wow. You didn't maybe understand.
Yeah.
Oh wait, we've got hot mics somewhere. Everyone, be mindful of your mute button, please. Okay, go ahead, Janice. Sorry.
It's just the magnitude of the list of names that you listed is indescribable. It's. I know that people may not understand. I'm a watchful eye on a couple of different, and I'm going to yield. This is huge. And I can only pray that this gets to us as soon as possible, because it seems almost impossible for me to wrap my head around with what I'm doing, what I want to do. And to get this, I just want to record as many people as I can, let them hear this and let them sign up, and let's go. Because this is massive, massive. I yield. Wow.
Right. Doesn't it instill like almost a feel, I don't want to say patriotism, I just don't know what other word to use, but it instills like this connection, you know, like a countrywide connection, and a like a clear path forward. You know, some people are so brilliant with their organizing skills, their, you know, quote, marketing skills. And I love knowing that we have professional people that have this kind of talent to be able to see this vision forward all the way to 2027. Because, you know, the way that many people, not everybody, but many people operate like, you know, oh, hey, what do you want to do on Friday? You know, they're not planning the next 100 years. Okay. They're planning like, oh, you know, 4th of July is coming up. Maybe we should have a barbecue. You know what I mean? So they like plan a month out or a few months out if it's like a vacation, but we haven't been self-governing in terms of planning, you know, our own future like this. So I just want to give a massive shout out to that outreach group that just organically got together, because they all have the same interests of doing outreach in a particular way. And they're all really, really talented people. So. Awesome. Thank you for your comments, Janice.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, I actually want to add to that list. Maybe we can get a couple more speakers on there. I want to be able to see. There's so many great health freedom, prominent health freedom people that would be awesome for that day or that weekend. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. I guess that's really it. The last thing that we have for today, if there are no questions or, oh, I see some hands going up. I don't know if your hands just shot up for old business or new business, but that's what's next. So I'm going to go to Lisa Ferris. Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, hi. On the whole mailing thing, the postcard,
uh-huh.
If I can get a copy of that I can take a more good quality copy of. I was married to a pressman for many years. I had a little mailing business. When you go to print something up, you have to pay for the plate, and that is your original that goes in the press to make high quality cards. And if you're doing that a lot, it can get really expensive, especially throughout the country. And I know it would be eventually you'd want to find a print house that could do in, you know, much bigger numbers. But locally, I wrote something on the chat. You can get it with your hometown shopper.
Oh, wait, you're totally chopping up there, Lisa. Oh, did we lose Lisa? Oh.
I think it looks like her signal fell off.
Okay. Lisa, is that you? Okay. I think she's coming back in right now. Lisa, if you're on your phone as well, you're mute. Okay. Who's the 714?
I just back. I just kicked me off, so she just came back on. But locally, you can hit up your hometown shopper, because oftentimes they have a print house, and they can print up your hometown shopper, covers your entire county for delivery. And I'm not sure if a lot of people actually recognize that or know that. It's not just your city of or wherever, whatever county you're on. Your hometown shopper will cover.
I'm so sorry, Lisa. Your audio is.
If you ask for rural.
Sorry, Lisa. You're cutting out quite a bit. So we're kind of missing. It's really, unless it's me. Is it me? I might have poor internet right now.
No, it's really bad.
No, it's possibly. Is this any better?
You know what? Can you put it into the chat, Lisa? So can you put what you want us to know? Can you put that into the chat for us? Because your audio is pretty bad.
I did put a brief paragraph in there about what the county can do for printing things and shipping things out, mailing rather.
Okay, super. All right, so it's in the chat then, it sounds like? Okay, what she wrote in the chat.
Yes, there's a brief description.
Okay, I'll read it for you, okay, Lisa? Everyone, at 11:15 a.m., Lisa wrote, if you get a, quote, hometown shopper or something of that sort, they mail to the entire county you are on. These postcards could be inserted into the weekly circulars. The cost would be cheaper than separately mailing postcards. Oftentimes, they have a print house that prints the inserts in their circular. Oh, that's really good to know, Lisa. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Very good to know.
And I had a little mailing business. Can you hear me any better?
Oh, gosh, it's awful. I heard that you had a mailing business, so it sounds like you've got some knowledge and some experience about this, which lends to your credibility. Was there something else you wanted us to know about that?
Just that I could do some research next week. I know a couple of people in town.
Great. Okay. Thank you. And what county are you on again?
I'm on Mendocino.
Mendocino County. Great, Lisa. Thank you so, so much. Now, are you also, I don't know if you joined right when you got kicked off. You came in right at the same time as this 714 number. Is that your number?
No, I'm a 707 number.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome.
All right. Great feedback. And before I go to Diana Carey, I'm just going to ask, there's a phone number on our meeting now. It's 714-595-4480. Could you do *6 to unmute yourself and just let us know who you are, please, and what county you're on? That's *6 to unmute, please.
I'm driving, so I can't be on the Zoom. Sorry.
Oh, it's Tammy. Hi, Tammy. Okay, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and
name
you.
Can you mail me?
Yep, I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tammy. Okay, and then *6 to mute. All right. Diana, go ahead.
Yes, I want to know who has the original copy of the ads that were placed in the Sacramento Bee, one promoting our elections and then the one with the results. And how can I get official copies of those two documents?
Okay, wait. The first one was the ad. I was actually starting to click and look for it. Okay. So the first one was you want a copy of the ad. Do you want a copy? When you say original, do you mean what was ordered, like the confirmation of the order from both?
No, the actual publication in the Sacramento Bee.
Oh, so a physical newspaper.
Yeah.
Like okay.
Where is our official proof of that?
Okay, so Joey Novak has those. I have a couple of copies that he sent to me. Let me see if I have it right here. So I have, this one was from, okay, Sacramento Bee. I hope you guys can all see that.
Can you mute Tammy? Because every time noise comes, the video screen goes to her instead of what you're sharing.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so this is one of them. It's the Sacramento Bee, and the date is of this one is blah, blah, blah. Where is it? It says volume 312, number 37. What is it? What is the date? Oh, here it is. Tuesday, February 6th. So this would have been the first one. Do you guys see that? Tuesday, February 6th. Okay, so it's in public notices, which is Can you see our seal right there? Okay, so it's right there. Just obviously, I don't expect that you'll be able to read this whole thing, but just so everyone can see, this was the first one.
No, that is for the results of the election.
Oh, right.
Yeah, February 6th is the results of the election.
Okay, you know who would have, let me see if I have, what is this one? This one's the next week, February 13th. Okay, so I don't have the announcement of the elections. You know who would have that is, Continental Marshal Joey Novak, because he actually lives in Sacramento. So what he did was he went to his local, you know, wherever he went, and he picked up multiple copies, and he sent me the results. So,
Michelle, I just put one in the chat. I think it's what you're looking for.
Okay, but Diana wanted to make sure that it was the one in the newspaper, too. So we've got to get, Diana would like to see the newspaper copy, the physical copy. Do you happen to have one of those, Susan, a newspaper copy?
Maybe I'll look.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. So, Diana, this is going to be a multi-man, multi-woman effort. We also had a record keeper from, you know, the affirmation date of August 31st until her retirement on January 31st. So she would have had the original election, you know, from the summer of 2023. She was our record keeper. So she would have had all of that in the records that were delivered to Marshal David after she stepped down. So those, there are boxes, Marshal David could speak more to this because I haven't seen the boxes, but there are boxes that he now is protecting at the storage unit. There's a storage facility that we have up in Sacramento area. Wait, is it Sacramento area, Marshal David? I forget.
Yep.
Okay. So, those originals are probably going to be in those boxes, I'm guessing. Does that help, Diana?
I think what I put in the chat, I just can't open it on my computer, but maybe you can.
Okay.
That's what you're looking for. It's the actual final copy of the first order that was printed.
Thank you.
Let me go ahead and pull this up. And it's loading, so it'll just take a moment here. Okay, I can screen share now. Blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Okay. Can everybody see this? I've got these little things popping up in the middle. Okay. So this is the actual ad. $1,494.20. This was our schedule these weeks. And the California Assembly 2023-2024 official election results. The California Assembly du jour, a state of the union and member of the United States of America, our unincorporated federation of states, governing the lawful concurrent general jurisdictions, hereby issues public notice to all people on California that the California Assembly du jour has elected David William Gall, Marshal at Arms, Darlene Yvonne Eldridge, public notary, Susan Sierra Volpe, justice, John Francis Vernacci, coroner, Brenda Lee Mening, Recording Secretary, each for the 2023-2024 term. For more information, please send mail to 10866 Washington Boulevard, number 65. This can't be the right one. It doesn't have a city on it. Culver City, California, 90232. Suddenly I'm like, I better check. Well, we've gotten mail, so... Notice. Oh my gosh, I need a magnifying glass. My poor eyeballs. Okay, yeah, this one has the city on it. So I'm not certain that this one was the right one. this couldn't have been the right one because it doesn't have the city at the address down here. See how it goes right from number 65 to the word California?
So, yeah, the publication dates aren't showing up either.
Mm-hmm. So this one, although I super appreciate you having this, Susan, it's not the right one. But keep it anyway in case we just as it's obviously one of the versions that we were that was an in progress version.
So may I ask who has contact with Joey Novak? Would that be the marshal?
Yeah, Marshal David is the you go through Marshal David to get to Marshal Joey.
Okay, can I make a public request for Marshall to communicate with Joey and maybe get those two documents scanned? And
we've Diana, we've actually Joey went to the Sacramento Bee office, and it's just their office in Sacramento. They actually do their printing out of Fremont now, like 100 miles away from Sacramento. And Joey went there a couple of times, and he needs to go back again and speak to somebody. They've just got a security guard out front, and they handed a business card to him and said contact place in Fremont to get some papers. But the place in Fremont, he wasn't able to speak to somebody. It's just a loop of information. So he needs to go back to the office in Sacramento and get somebody there to contact somebody at Fremont and then make available to us, you know, a dozen copies of each week of the notice that we were going to have an election and then the results of the election, another dozen copies of each of those. So, you know, for our $3,000, we ought to be able to get a stack of different newspapers and then, have those in our records. And then also for people who want to have a copy of that historical information, we can, you know, make those available. We just need to get a number of how many different copies we want and see what we can do about that. So we that's something that Joey had going as an active thing, and then he just needs to follow up on that. So I can talk to him about it. And then also Tammy Tran lives near that near Fremont, and she already indicated that she would be willing to go by and pick up the papers at the Fremont office once we know that somebody is going to answer their door and have that information available, have that paperwork available for us. Then we can let Tammy know when she can go pick that up. So she's already stepped up to that. So we're working on it. We just need to follow up on that again. And I yield.
Okay, so right now I'm understanding that we have 1 week copy of a physical publishing, and Michelle actually has it in her hands today.
We have more than that. Well, no, we have more than that. But Joey has some of those already. Mm-hmm. It's just that we don't have a stack of them. It's not a good idea for just one man or woman to have a singular copy of it. We need to have those distributed around. Everybody in the assembly should have a copy of that paper of each of those weeks. And then they should be putting those in their file cabinet or whatever. So we all have a copy.
Yeah, I just, with notices and communications with people, I would like to have a physical copy so that I can share that process was done and that we're legit, because people just look at you like you're crazy. You know, I tried speaking to people in the library and the post offices in West LA yesterday, and I just would really love it if we could, whoever has them, if they could at least scan them and then put it in a PDF document or something that we can all access and for ourselves and keep digitally and print on our own if we want. Because I know that when I tried to look on the Sacramento Bee itself, I think you have to have a subscription, and it just seemed like, you know, complicated, and then I would have to invest money in trying to find that information.
Yeah, we can put it on Linktree probably. Huh?
Yeah, I actually think that's a great idea to be able to get it up onto the Linktree. And also, I agree that if it's possible at this point to still get physical copies, I think everyone on the assembly would want a copy because it's a historically significant event for all of us. And plus, the more people that have copies, the more protected we are because then it's not centralized, you know, and if, you know, what if the, you know, what if the storage facility burns down? I mean, we've seen all kinds of things get burned down in our lifetimes, and they use burning things down as a way to erase history, right? So anyway, I think it's a great idea to have multiple copies if we can still get that. I know for sure Marshall Joey has, he was diligent to go over there, you know, to, I don't know if he went to the store or whatever, but he picked up physical copies of our publishing.
And I think each newspaper also has a notary that they can print something up, you know, and then we can get it notarized right there at the newspaper. Hmm. If not, then just go down the street and get it notarized as being, you know, an original, an exact copy of the original. So, and then, again, dealing with this level of authenticity, it would probably not be a bad idea to go to the county and have the county clerk certify that notary is in good standing. There, the affidavit of publication, yeah, that sort of thing. And then I would take a copy of the newspaper also, and then the notary can look at that and certify that it's an exact copy. And then go to the county clerk and have them certify that notary is in good standing and that notary is accurate. And then they'll stamp, they'll emboss that cover letter and put that and staple that to your document. Now you've got something that is certified by the county that the notary is in good standing, all that stuff. So.
Is that an apostille or something? What is that called?
It's just a certification from the county clerk. The apostille then would be the next step, and that would be to take that to the Secretary of State's office, which probably not a bad idea. Take that to the Secretary of State's office and have them apostille that. So then they'll put their cover letter on top of the county clerk's cover letter, and then we've got something that is – recognize that if it ever had to go to even the de facto court, their court is mandatorily required to recognize something that's been through the three different certifications of the notary. So they have to accept it. They can't reject that. So it's been authenticated all the way up to the Secretary of State's office.
That's awesome.
Probably not a bad idea to do something. Yeah.
And who would be the accountable party on the assembly to get that done?
Record keeper would probably be.
Oh yeah, we need a record keeper. Yeah, I always forget. We need a record keeper too.
Yeah, record keeper.
What about our notary? She doesn't have stuff a lot going on right now. Maybe that could be a task for her.
That would be what a great idea, Diana, because she is, you know, not quite as busy right now, and our courts are not stood up. So that's a really great idea.
Can you scan down a little bit on that? Because I saw something that said Dallas, Texas, and I just wanted to see what that was in reference to.
Yeah, this is the affidavit for the parent company of the Sacramento Bee.
Oh, okay.
So which is funny because this to me looks like an electronic, like a electronic signature thing. But this is from McClatchy. They are the parent company for the Sacramento Bee. And so what Dee did was she asked for an affidavit of the publication, and the publication, the thing that was, sorry, let me go, I'm going too fast for myself. It was for the ad that was noticing everyone that we were going to be having elections. And these are the dates, the week of May 29th, June 5th, June 12th, June 19th, June 28th, 2023. And it says, notice of elections, the California Assembly summoned by the United States of America, our unincorporated federation of states governing the lawful land and soil jurisdiction, hereby issues public notice to all people on California that the California Assembly will be holding elections for all state official positions. Nominations are now open until May 31st, 2023. Elections will be held July 1 through 31, 2023. Info at ca-coordinators@mail.americanstatenationals.net. So this was the affidavit that this ran the whole time and all of that. I never received physical copies of the Sacramento Bee. And so I think that having a copy of this affidavit is very important.
May I have a copy of that?
Yeah, you know what? I'll drop it into the chat. How about that?
Okay, thank you. And then was there an affidavit done for the results?
No. In fact, seeing this affidavit is making me realize that we need to do that. I didn't, we don't have an elections committee or anything, so I didn't know. I was unaware that that was one of the things until I was just going through my Sacramento Bees, trying to find what I can share with you guys today. So I'll reach out to Dee and ask her if it's possible for her to help with that process. She was on the elections committee and got this from McClatchy the first time. Affidavit.
Thank you.
Affidavit. I'm just going to ask Dee if she can do that. Okay, Susan James. Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, thank you. Diana, I have a copy of the California Assembly 2023-2024 official election results. It does show here, for more information, please send mail to 10866 Washington Boulevard, number 65, Culver City, California, 90232. Has a phone number, 916-245-8199, and then it has the website, American State Nationals. It also has the publication dates, February 6, 13, 20, 27, March 5, 2024. And that's the official one they put in the paper in Sacramento Bee. I don't know if that's what you're wanting, but...
I would like both a copy of the advertisement of the election and then of the results. So are you saying that link to that was listed on there for the California TASA website or something?
Yeah, it has the
copies that would be on there.
Yeah, it has. Please send mail to, and it has the address of who do you send mail to.
But that's our Culver City. That's just our PO box.
Yeah, I guess if you want to contact these elected officials, right? You could contact that number and that website.
What was the website that it said that?
It said to contact. I guess to contact these people, you have to contact the CaliforniaAmericanStateNationals.org. I don't know. I didn't make it up, so I don't know how you contact the elected officials, but it has that contact information. I would assume that that's there for in case you want to contact these elected officials. All right. So anyway, I have an awful thing to happened to our one of our assembly state nationals on Thursday, May 30th, Robert Watson. His house trailer and trucks were burned down. He lost 5 years of work. Jesse James, the militia coordinator, went to his house yesterday and offered and helped him out. If you'd like to help out Jesse James, militia coordinator, please contact me. I put it in the chat, my contact information. We the militia, we can make a difference by helping, you know, support Robert Watson, who lost his home, his personal property. You know, that left him in shock and unsure what to do next. So let's support Robert in his, time of need now. Let us know that we're here for him. That's what we're about, isn't it? Isn't that what the militia is supposed to be doing? Helping those that lost their houses to fires or that are you can't get more devastated than that. I left the information on the chat for if you want to send a postal money order and made out to Robert Watson and send it out to P.O. Box 381, Lucerne Valley, California, 92356. I hope you do send him some help. He really does need it. He's a very good man, and he's setting up trailers out there for people that need help if in case things get really bad here in the city. They have a rescue place to go to. All that's destroyed.
You said that he is a national.
He's American State National for San Bernardino. He lives in Lucerne Valley.
Thank you so much.
And he was making some trailers out there for water tanks, things like that for people, you know, that needed help from the city. If you need to get out in the city because things get really bad, you can go down there. You can you rent one of his trailers and get aid there and help. It's all gone. He's looking out for us.
Was that, how did that happen? Was it?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But the fire trucks that went there, they went with no water in their tanks. Can you imagine that? Five tanks, I think he said five fire tanks went out there and they had no water. And one of them broke down and he just watched his trucks burn down.
It's so awful. Oh, yeah. And Janice chimed in that she can imagine that. She's a victim of massive fire, too.
Well, it's a horrible thing to go through. And I know because I saw his I didn't see the fire damage, but I saw what he was doing. He had everything pretty much really on its way. He put a lot of money into his work, and he worked very hard to do this. And it's all gone. So if you, anybody can help, you know, just send some money out there to him.
Can you, I know you did earlier in the call, you know, at the very beginning. Can you drop it in the chat one more time? Because a lot of people hopped onto the call after you dropped it in there. Mm-hmm. Could you put in the contact information with instructions on, for anyone who has the means to be able to help? That would be great.
That's right. And remember, everyone, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, praise be to God and a Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So it might be us. It might be us that needs help one day. And we should, let's us help this man and help those others that might come after him. So, because one day we might need help too. So let's start with one person and go on to the next if the call is there. So, that's what we're about. Isn't that what we're about? Helping our assembly, members here.
Yep, this is self-governing. This is us taking care of one another as best we can. So thank you for bringing this forward, Susan.
All right,
May I? This is Diana. I think this is a good opportunity for our court and general assembly to practice and make claims against the fire department for not being prepared and having the proper resources. I mean, that's just an example of the municipal government taking, but not producing and not protecting.
Great point, Diana. Thank you for bringing that forward. Okay, Janice, go ahead, Janice. Oh, and just for everybody, this, not for you, Janice, but like for everybody. I need to hop off in 5 minutes. So if, hopefully we'll be able to wrap it up. If not, I'm going to have to see if we can have, someone else take over hosting to keep the meeting going. Okay. Go ahead, Janice.
Okay. Thank you. I'll make it really fast and I apologize if I start to cry, but when you experience that kind of devastation, it's not only that you don't know what you're doing from one day to the next. Where's your phone? How do you call? What do you replace first? It leaves you in a state of absolute shock. And to see the violation of the people that we trust, our fire departments, I'm going to tell you that in Grizzly Flat, we had a fire for 2 days rage before it got to my community. And the fire department was here, and then they were called off by the forestry because they had jurisdiction over my town. They let us burn. They let a crew go. We watched them, the residents, as we were leaving, standing there fully clothed and not allowed to engage the fire. And they were forced to watch us burn. And I will be sending help. And I strongly encourage everybody to do the same, because I strongly believe that when you are capable of great greatness, and you have the ability to affect many in such a positive and pure way, you will be attacked by evil. You absolutely will. And when this man is getting people water tanks, I have to have one on my property now, because I know the fire department is not going to come when the fire rolls on the ground towards my trailer, which is all I have left. So I'm going to put a water tank. It's almost here. But please help this man, because he's doing the right things for the right reasons, and because I firmly believe that because he is doing that out of the goodness of his heart, he is being attacked. So I really strongly encourage that when you have a choice of who to donate to, there's a lot of people asking for donations, and they're all good. But reach in your heart and know that the people who want to help are the people who are attacked and devastated, and that is allowed by God, because he has that much faith in us. Like, yeah, you can attack my children, but guess what? That's because I have that much faith in them. So I yield.
Thank you, Janice. God bless you too, my girl. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. Oh, okay. I don't know why I called you my girl. That was weird. I'm sorry. I met my friend. I'm sorry, my friend. Okay. Wow. Now, Susan, I didn't see that it got posted in there yet. So if you can find his information and drop it in before we wrap up the call. Oh, there it is. That was immediate. Thank you so much, Susan. I'm going to copy and paste it so I have it handy. And I hope that everybody can take the time to also be of service to Robert Watson in this way. Thank you. Okay. So I know it's kind of open for old business or new business at this time, but I need to hop off in 2 minutes. Is there any urgent old business or new business that we need to address at this time?
I move that we adjourn.
Oh, what was that, Janice?
I move we adjourn.
Okay. So Janice just moved that we adjourn this meeting, Mop and Bucket, on, oh, I forgot to do the date at the top of the call. Mop and Bucket Saturday, June 1st, 2024. So, we would reconvene on Saturday, June 8th, 2024 at 9 a.m. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Marshall. Okay, any objections to adjourning this meeting and reconvening next Saturday at 9 a.m.? Okay, hearing none, we're going to go ahead and lock it down. I hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Go forth and multiply, everybody, and thank you for being here for what an awesome meeting this was. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.